following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Hey, what's poppin'? We're in the DealsInTheD.com studios for another Drew and Mike show. After taking Mother's Day off, I hope all the moms had a fabulous day.
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did. I really didn't lift a finger to do anything, so
good.
That was cool.
Did Joe do his job?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah,
really? Oh, good. Okay. Sounds
very
nice.
I wasn't all that challenging. I just wanted to be on the couch all day.
Well, I'm all about moms having a nice day on Mother's Day. So that's great. And we have some young moms who are part of the show. I hope they enjoyed their Mother's Day, too. No comment from the young dads?
Yeah, Kristen had a good one.
I think Julie was all right. Last night was a disaster.
Wasn't trying to put you on the defensive.
Oh, no, I did.
Assuming the best.
No, she had a wonderful weekend.
Okay, good.
Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Wow.
Oh, hey. It's my Mother's Day present, though.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, it's a smartwatch.
Thanks for raising that bar.
Sorry.
Shoot.
Very nice.
Very cool, right?
I like it. I like it. It's black, too.
Nice.
Like all things black. And you're all black today.
I am. I'm a woman in black.
No black face, but
no.
Everything else is pretty black.
Just that one time.
It's been a, tough day today since I got Brandon's text this morning that little Bill had passed away. I got to tell you, I honestly know it's not my dog, but I felt like crying.
Did you?
No, I didn't cry.
Oh, okay.
But I felt like it.
That's kind of an empty chest.
Yeah.
If I brought it up every time I felt like crying... it's not like it's every 5 minutes, but...
Just cry next time.
Well, I didn't want to cry about it, but can we just move on?
Yes.
Tell us about the sad demise of Bill. This sucks.
Well, yeah, I meant to kind of reiterate what I said. Kristen did have a great Mother's Day up until...
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Up until Bill passed away. We went and we visited him. It was day 6 or 7 of his recovery from his surgery. Now, he had 2 surgeries. One of them was to remove the blockage and remove part of his intestines. The second one was to kind of clean things up because it developed an infection and it kind of broke apart. So we kept getting pretty good news every day. You know, he was making it farther and farther and farther. But then we went and visited him yesterday after Mark and I were here. And unfortunately, he looked pretty bad and it was just a matter of minutes before... We made the call and
I was
put him down.
I think I was trying to get optimistic because you always had the caveat that this is very serious surgery, but for some reason I just thought that little guy was gonna pull through.
Yeah, he's pulled through a lot of different crazy things in his life, and he was definitely a mischievous dog. He would always get into things, and partially that's my fault for not training him better, but he liked to chew things, and he was so small that stuff that would normally pass through a dog doesn't really pass through him. So that was a bummer.
I will remember you.
Terrible. A little bit. But everybody's been great. I've gotten a lot of, a ton of people online that have sent well wishes. So we appreciate it.
Yeah, I expect it.
Shining sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night.
Bill gets the singing portion.
Michael's right.
Not just the talking portion.
At least we'll always have memories of Bill, like his paraphimosis.
Paraphimosis, the time that he almost overdosed on drugs.
I was thinking of the cop outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would have tweeted it out if I had it.
Oh. I can bring it up right now for Facebook Live.
Yeah, please do. Show it to Facebook Live.
Yeah.
And it was a, boy, there was a big death triangle, too, with... Peggy Lipton?
Chick actresses, yeah.
Yeah. Doris Day and Gunther Cunningham, the former Lions coach and Chiefs coach. And you know what?
Peggy Lipton, by the way, the mother of Rashida Jones. I don't know if a lot of people knew that or not. From The Office.
That was the with headline of her death for a few.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, Rashida which was Jones. Weird.
Huh.
Wait.
So, wait, Rashida Jones'
mom. Mother dies?
Yes.
Who really? Also happens to be Doris Day?
No.
No, Peggy Lipton.
Oh, Peggy Lipton. Sorry. I got them all jammed
Carrie
up.
Carrie Melcher's
in my head now.
Mom was
That's
Doris
right.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a really odd death triangle. But you know what I did? First of all, I was stunned at Peggy Lipton's team photo, which included Paul McCartney, Elvis Presley, Keith Moon,
oh my God.
Sammy Davis Jr., and Quincy Jones.
Wow.
There's got to be other people in that photo that would make us go, what?
The other two dudes from the Mod Squad, I was like, had a crush on the...
Oh, Pete or Link?
Pete. I had a crush on Pete. It was nothing about Pete or Link one way or the other, but...
Yeah, he was cool. Because, you know, that's a funny thing about the Mod Squad is actually going back, I couldn't get over team photo. Then I was corrected that she never consummated with Elvis. He was too screwed up. He was like way deep into the attacks, the uppers and the downers, and he couldn't get it up for Peggy Lipton, which tells you how bad Elvis was.
Whoa.
But McCartney and Moon just slammed her, I'm sure. Sammy was probably...
Sammy sounds like he slid in and out of all kinds of stuff.
Delighted. Yeah. Oh, he did.
Yeah.
And Quincy Jones, she was married to for quite a while. He's Rashida Jones' father, of course. Yeah. So anyway, today, you know, I kept seeing in her obits just about the Mod Squad. And I remember the Mod Squad well. It was a cool show.
Yeah.
But I was trying to remember, what was the exact plot of the Mod Squad? Because they were these, you know, three hippies. It was like the first counterculture cops.
Yeah, that's it.
And I thought, wait, but that's not cool. And sometimes they didn't think it was cool, too. I remember that they were very conflicted about being even undercover cops. But then I had to go back and read the Mod Squad plot summary.
Which was?
They were the Mod Squad. One black, one white, one blonde. Described by one critic as the hippest and first young undercover cops on TV. Each of these characters represented mainstream culture's principal fears regarding youth in the era. Long-haired rebel Pete Cochran was evicted from his wealthy parents... Beverly Hills home, then arrested and put on probation after he stole a car. Lincoln Hayes, Link, Clarence Williams III, who came from a family of 13 children, was arrested in the Watts riots, one of the longest, most violent actual riots in LA history. Flower child, Julie Barnes, that's, of course.
And he was black.
Peggy Lipton. The canary with a broken wing, arrested for vagrancy after running away from her prostitute mother's San Francisco home. The concept was to take three rebellious, disaffected young social outcasts and convince them to work as unarmed, undercover detectives as an alternative to being incarcerated.
Oh, it's 21 Jump Street.
I didn't realize that all three of them were about to go. Why? You go to jail for being a vagrant? Incarcerated?
Well.
And Pete was going to go to jail for being kicked out of his parents? Oh, he stole a car.
Stole a car.
Were they any good at their job?
Well, yeah, they were very good. They were the Mod Squad. Come on.
How much training did they get?
I think they sort of brushed over that part.
Wouldn't you think
they had the training from being mod?
They were like the A-team.
Yes, the A-team. Much better.
The A-team did steal the Mod Squad's act.
Yeah.
I only knew it because the dude ended up becoming Samson Simpson from Half-Baked.
Oh, really?
Samson Simpson.
Link did?
Yep.
Well, Clarence Williams III, he was a cool.
Clarence Williams III was cool, yeah.
He was way cool.
The third.
And then, as for Doris Day, the first thing that came to mind was her son, Terry Melcher. Well, of course, I remember the Doris Day show, which was around the same time.
She did not want to do that either, by the way.
She didn't want to do the show?
No. Her husband, Marvin Melcher, got embezzled money from her, and she finds out when he dies, basically. Plus, he's also signed her up to do TV, which she did not want to do.
Why is it all these super successful chicks in Hollywood marry scumbag guys? It happens a lot.
She starts out marrying musicians, so the first guy is a trombonist, Terry's dad.
And I know so much about Doris Day.
I was looking for something besides the wholesome Doris Day story, and well, I knew there had to be something.
I have some of that covered.
Good, because when they announced her death, I was like, I don't know anything about
no
her.
No clue.
Because who is she?
She was in Rock Hudson's biggest movies as his female. Yeah, that's how you.
Trudy said she was Rock Hudson's beard.
Yeah, that's how you.
Hollywood
beard. That's how you bring her to everybody. I think.
Yes. Because yeah.
Rock was a giant star, and I don't think a lot of people know who Rock Hudson is. If he didn't get AIDS, nobody'd know him. I mean, AIDS is the best thing that ever happened to him in terms of lasting.
No, you're right. Nobody can argue that. I don't know if that's how he'd want to be remembered, but sorry.
He got AIDS. He had AIDS.
He's got AIDS.
Own it, Rock.
He did. Right before he died, he owned it.
He should have owned it a lot longer.
He still owns it. Man, does he own it. So what
is that
what
how she died? Did she get AIDS?
No, she did not get AIDS.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what she weighed. I don't know anything about her death.
Car,
she was 97.
Car accident.
Could have been. But Trudy, so she married some other schlubs too?
She was married to, I think she was married to a drummer and then a trombonist. Hmm. And she had Terry from the Musicians. And the guy that got her pregnant with Terry was like,
"What are you about, Terry?
You get that thing in your belly down to Mexico and get it out of here." And she decided to give the baby into safekeeping with her mother. And then she went on tour and... all kinds of things. So Doris Day was
that baby is ugly.
Boy, that's a weird story. You know, Terry Melcher was not terribly good looking.
No.
So that baby's ugly, maybe one of the more accurate ones that's ever been dropped in. Terry Melcher, though, became this great music producer who almost produced Manson. He's the one that turned down Manson. It was his house that Manson had them going into.
How can he pass on this?
To kill everyone. I live on another level. They thought Terry Melcher was in the house.
I know. He wanted to kill Terry Melcher.
Yes. So anyway, instead, Roman Polanski's wife, Sharon, the beautiful Sharon Tate, and her baby and these other people were murdered. And Terry Melcher had produced the Beach Boys and I think the Grassroots, all kinds of big acts. He was a great producer.
One of his biggest songs was Tambourine Man.
Was it? With the birds?
Yeah, and the only way I can ever think about it is Shatner version.
But... Dennis Wilson, the drummer for the Beach Boys, who was the cool Beach Boy. He was the only surfer in the band, and he was truly cool. And he had solo records that were pretty good. People still rave about him, even though they didn't do terribly well.
Right.
Dennis Wilson met Manson. He picked up two of his girls, two Manson family chicks, hitchhiking, boned them. And next thing you know, Manson lived in his house with like 20 chicks. And he thought it was cool. And he brought Manson to Terry Melcher going, "This guy can make music, man."
The only bummer for Dennis was he had to do the occasional spectrum of antibiotics to get rid of the clap that kept going around and around because Manson's women were...
That was a bit of a problem.
A bit tainted.
Ew.
And then finally, Gunther Cunningham. I didn't mention, though, Doris Day. There was a rumor it's much like the Richard Gere had his stomach pumped. Or Rod Stewart, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Gere had
the gerbil.
So
it's a fact?
Well, I think the Sly Stone, that she and Sly Stone were an item.
Whoa.
I know.
Nice.
Really?
But you know what is true and was considered kind of scandalous at the time was that she had a fling with Maury Wills.
And really?
Yeah, Maury Wills put it in his book, I believe, and it was like, "Doris Day with a black dude, what?"
Nice.
"Doris Day with a black dude, what?"
And... I think that's true, and who cares? But, I mean, it was, I think it took people by surprise. I'll just put it
this
that way.
This guy's wiener is, you know, huge, right?
I'd love to maybe produce the made-for-TV movie of her rolling around with Sly Stone, because that'd be pretty cool,
that
wouldn't
is
it?
Yeah.
I mean, her culture and his culture, and then...
If somebody stole a video of them having sex, I would definitely watch, because that would just be kind of wild.
Yeah. And then Que Sera comes out of it, his version of Que Sera,
Maury Wills.
I know.
That just blows my mind.
It's a very strange, and I think there's stuff online about it, but anyway, between Terry Melcher, Maury Wills, Sly Stone, and apparently some pretty crummy choices. Well, Sly Stone would fit the crummy choices, wouldn't he? He covered Que Sera, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was Doris Day's big song.
So you know that happened then. For him to do this?
Yeah, he would not have covered the song without boning her.
It's for my baby, Doris Day.
When I was just a little girl, I asked
when I was just a little girl.
Yeah,
We're coming out of Sly Stone, doesn't it?
Does, yeah! Does.
Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me.
Gospel twist on this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Cool. I kind of dig it. Be better than Doris's version.
Hell yeah.
The future's that I was.
And what the hell?
To see. Hey. Wow, wow, wow.
Well, wow, wow.
Sly is so underrated.
Yeah.
By his own doing.
Well, he sold his. The poorhouse. He had $5 million of royalties that came in about 10 years ago, and he was ready to, okay, I'm getting out of this recreational vehicle. I'm going to live like a rich rock star. And somebody said, no, you signed all that away a long time ago.
Oh, and that's bullshit.
So he lost.
It'll always have his voice.
Yeah, if there is. I don't know about that.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that. What a voice.
Stop it.
By the way, Facebook Live was brought to you by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas. The patio is open if it would just warm up already. Mesa Tacos and Tequilas on Main Street in Royal Oak is one of the largest and best patios in the city with both outdoor and indoor seating. It's a top spot to kick back on these hopefully warming up summerish days and evenings to enjoy their fresh-made Mexican fusion delicacies, handcraft cocktails, fresh-squeezed margaritas, 150 tequilas at Mesa, 35-foot screen, 10% off. Mention the Drew and Mike Show. And we'll get to Gunther Cunningham in a second. We've been waiting for the Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Spring Sales event, and finally it's here. During Zot Spring Sales event, you can lease a new 19 Ram Bighorn 4x4 as low as $166 a month, or lease a new loaded 19 Jeep Compass as low as $198 a month, or if you want to move the whole family around in total luxury, lease a new 19 Chrysler Pacifica at $292 a month. That low. Plus, last month's employee pricing for everyone was such a smashing success, our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram decided to do it again. So while supplies last, get employee pricing on all new 18 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Nobody else is doing that for you. See details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. Somebody just got a Dodge Ram.
Dodge Ram?
Yeah, they were the headline of my email was, Maz gets a bird dog.
Oh.
Nice.
So we can hopefully verify that tomorrow. I'm not sure Maz got a bird dog.
Oh,
I don't know how that bird dog program. I'm not sure that's working all that well.
Shit, yeah.
And Luke Nowacki is asking you if you have your retirement taken care of, because a lot of people have been goofing off or just not planning. That is kind of sloughing off a little bit. You need to be thinking about this at some point in time. If you're late to the game, get started now. It's kind of like getting these Eli Zaritz and Bob Pages on Twitter. You're better off starting now. Why wait? Because it just takes longer. It takes
Today's a great day to start.
And it is. It's a fantastic day to start on Twitter.
Oh, and the market.
And a bad day, good day to jump in the market, too. What did the market lose today?
I'm looking it up right now.
This is why you want a guy like Lou.
It's a very sad, very sad day in the market.
What?
It was down 2.38%. That's 617 points for the Dow.
You know, I just popped open the Daily Mail.
NASDAQ 3.41%.
And the headline was something about Trump has summit with somebody and it stems losses or something. And I thought, oh, maybe the market rallied. Apparently it did not.
It bounced up. So he had the president of some country. I don't even know what country. Turkey, maybe? No, not Turkey. I don't know what country it was. They were there, so he took questions. Oh. And he was very one of those things where not as definitive as he is on Twitter. So it bounced up a little bit, but then went back down. So, yeah, fun
What
stuff.
About the summit with China?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll bounce right back up. That's why you should call Luke and get in the market now. Well, the economy's strong.
The nice things about tariffs are you can always take them off, but somebody has to save face.
Yeah.
There has to be a reason to remove the tariffs.
Yeah, but you could just,
You could just remove
It's crazy.
Them.
We won the battle. Tariffs are disappeared.
I expect the tariffs will be gone by the time of the election.
You
Something
think?
Tells me. Yeah, which is, I don't know. Call me
Great
psychic.
Time to buy in right now.
So, yeah, it is a good time to buy. And Luke Nowacki would love to help you. Call Luke and get his team working for you at 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates, Incorporated, separately owned and other entities, and/or marketing names, products, or services referenced here, independent Royal Alliance Associates, Incorporated. And is there a new Dr. Roche coffee, Trudy?
All of the mommy makeovers are current throughout the month of May. So that means still specials on all of those makeovers.
Whoa.
Including the most popular procedures.
What is the most popular procedure for mommies?
Oh, so HP lipo, body tights, Brazilian butt lift, Diva, Morpheus 8, eyelid lifts, Botox, and other fillers, including Botox and Dysport and Restylane as well, which...
Oh, yeah, the fillers and the Botox.
The big craters in your face, the giant, you know, concern.
Yep.
Crevices on your forehead.
The Jane Pauley line.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
I know. I remember when she got that line, it was like, Jane Pauley looks so worried all of a sudden.
Yeah,
she looks so loosey-goosey.
She looks worried in one respect and kind of high as a kite in the other, though, doesn't she? Mm-hmm. Does she kind of, like, have that sort of I'm buzzed look?
I never stopped thinking...
She was a doobie before she goes to work.
I never stopped thinking she was cool. I'm not sure why. And it's not because she went to Dr. Roche, because I don't think she did. But she could get rid of that line.
Definitely.
Maybe it's gone. I haven't seen her lately.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He can fill that up. Plus, I have this thing I've got to show him, too. He's really good with this. Like, this little thing growing right on my cheek.
Oh, is it a...
next to my eye. It's like your stories of him going in and going, hey, what's this?
Yeah.
It's then, not a tumor.
Bye. Bye. Wait, is it a birthmark almost?
A little raised spot, yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
So that he's really good about, and as well as all of the body tights that apply to under your arms and your legs and belly and breast tight as well, which is part of his...
The boob lifts he's been bragging about. Yeah, maybe he'd be bragging about yours.
Uh-huh.
At 248-338-1110, 248-338-1110. And now, completing the death triangle before the really bad news of the day that so many people are bummed about, Gunther, I know, as if John Beilein leaving Michigan is worse than death.
Well,
some people it is.
Some, yeah.
Gunther Cunningham, he coached the Kansas City Chiefs. He was here with the Lions. He was here for
a good time.
The aughts.
He was?
Yeah. He was here. He's defensive coordinator. He had those cool yellow sunglasses.
I think people always liked Gunther Cunningham.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, he's a hard ass. I fell in love with him during Hard Knocks with the Kansas City Chiefs, probably from this clip when they're having family night, you know, where all the players,
family fun night.
Yeah, and all the players' families show up.
Sure.
Fans are there.
It's always fun.
Gunther, not a big fan of family fun night. You might have to crank this, Brandon. Oh, nice quality. Never mind. Forget it.
We have a
Trudy. You heard it earlier.
I know it was fine.
Coming
what's
out
wrong,
of the
what
TV?
Happened to the audio?
I don't know.
It sucks.
It's the very same.
Well, that's just atrocious. Never mind. Forget it.
That was the only reason to include him in the triangle.
I know.
It's very disappointing.
What's
He's
that?
All garbled.
How did you hear it before?
I played it. Well, let's try.
It was
let's
fine.
Try it the way I did it earlier. I was playing it out of my TV. Let's see here. Hang on. This is going to be really interesting.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gunther Cunningham, take two. Why he's important to you.
Slow down.
I know. We're going to make this work one way or the other. This is going to sound just as bad, I have a feeling. Okay.
Wait, what are you doing?
Playing it for my TV.
Not everyone likes this night. I'll tell you what, you ain't getting a Thanksgiving's either if I can help you.
It's not one of my favorite things because players, you know, they're signing autographs, looking at the fans, and we needed a good practice.
You're a bitter old man, right?
Let me tell you something. The guys that make it, you better say, bless Thanksgivings right now and have a happy Christmas right now, because when those 2 days show up, you want to see a flying asshole, you're going to see one.
Thanksgivings and Christmas, that's the worst. It's like a nightmare for me because players, you know, they're going to get some time off and they tend to lose their focus. And I've been called a lot of things by a lot of players, and Grinch is the number one deal.
And so our consistency.
For Gunther Cunningham, football comes first.
I don't know. Don't you love the guy? He hates Christmas, hates Thanksgiving, hates family fun night.
I can kind of tell where he's coming at with that.
I can kind of relate to him.
He's got a job to do. He doesn't want any distractions.
Yeah.
And how'd that sound coming out of the TV? Way better.
It was audible, I think.
Right, Brandon?
I thought the other one was fine.
Really?
I couldn't hear it. It was too low.
And it's making all that garbly good.
Yeah, I think we should stop analyzing the audio and move on to John Beilein, who shocked me this morning. Michigan's college basketball coach. And honestly, I think he's one of the best coaches I've ever observed over a long period of time. He's such a good coach.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
And he leaves, and I thought, wow, this is perfect. He's 66. Yeah. He'll probably want to be coached for 7 or 8 more years. The program is rocking. And he apparently had this NBA thing that, you know, when he was flirting with the Pistons job, I thought, is that just something he just has to pursue because he's, you know, curious? But apparently it was a thing.
He's always wanted to coach in the NBA.
By the way, I heard
he turned down the Pistons job, but I don't think he was ever offered it.
That's what they were saying today, was it? He would have taken it, but he just wasn't offered it.
I think he flirted with somebody else last year, too. Was it Orlando, maybe?
First of all, I don't think flirting's the right word for John Beilein. I don't think he flirts with anything.
There's a lot of heavy petting with him in Orlando. a lot of swiping left and right.
I wonder if this will work. You know, it's interesting because he could just have a wonderful wrap to his career in Ann Arbor, and I could almost see him coming back.
Really?
I don't know. No, I know. I know it sounds crazy, but I just don't think Cleveland's going to go well.
It's weird. It's weird the way, because you just didn't hear any rumors, and it really just happened. So I think that's why people were surprised. But if you look at what happened last year, is it really that surprising? And he's been there 12 years, so maybe he was on the cusp of retiring. So I'm just going to pretend he retired.
it makes it a lot easier. To do.
No, I know. But just not to say that the next guy can't have as successful of a career.
Yeah, it's...
depending on who they get, so...
yeah, who are they going to get? That's, I think, the other interesting thing is, who would Michigan want to be their basketball coach now? I mean, it seems like, you know, it's not a great time to be looking for a coach, is it?
Not at all, no. I mean, look how many... you lost Buzz.
Yeah, and we hired a dope from Winthrop.
Oh, well, yeah. No, Wofford.
Wofford. Okay, see, Wofford, Winthrop, what's the difference?
And then the guy from Nevada, who everyone loves, is now at Arkansas. And I mean, so a lot of these young hotshots are gone. But I keep hearing names like Brad Stevens, who coaches the Celtics.
He was good. I mean, got Butler in the finals.
Yeah, but if you're twice. I don't understand why anybody would rather coach in college than the pros. In football or basketball, wouldn't you much rather be a pro coach?
Wasn't the theory on Brad Stevens that, hey, that'd be a nice escape hatch for the debacle that the Celtics... I mean, he really hasn't taken the Celtics anywhere in 6 years. First of all, I can't believe he's been there 6 years. And this is not a sports podcast, by the way, but this is John Beilein. This is big stuff.
It's dominating a lot of things. I've heard people mention Jay Wright, who's Villanova's coach. Why not go for those long shots? But in the end, it's probably just going to end up being Luke Yaklich, who's the assistant head coach now. A lot of people love him.
I think they'd be better off going with the assistant and then see how he does.
Yeah.
I mean, assistant, that sometimes that works. And do you get the wrong guy if you have a very small pool? Because I saw people speculating candidates, and they didn't have enough people to speculate. It was like, Rick Pitino. I'm like, Rick Pitino, really?
Right. Who was the fourth
biggest name you can come up with?
I laugh when people mention Juwan Howard, who's been an assistant NBA coach. It's like, nah, no thanks. No thanks.
Well, he's Fab Five.
Sure. Whatever.
I don't see. I don't know what you want. I don't know how. Is he considered a good assistant coach?
He almost got a head NBA gig. But once again, NBA, like, I don't know. I'd rather come from the college ranks.
Well,
you know, university's got a lot of money to throw at somebody because Beilein is making it 3.8.
Yeah. What does he get paid for Cleveland?
I have no idea. I mean, NBA coaches get more, so probably $5 million, I would think, a year. But the thing is, not about money. I don't think it's about money for that guy. I didn't realize that I can't remember the guy's name, but the GM there is his former player at West Virginia. So he's got a relationship.
Pitt Snoggle?
Yeah, I know. That's the only one.
That's the only guy I know.
Him or his kid. That's the only people that...
Who is the GM?
I can't remember off the top of my head. There's only way I could look it up.
I know. It's really weird is watching the NBA quarterfinals and realizing, boy, I barely know anybody on this team. Watching Denver, I'm like, who's this Jokic guy?
Oh, my God. He's the best.
He's a blast to watch. Yeah. They lost, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. To Portland. Portland's got some fun guys, too, and like C.J. McCollum. And
Leonard made that shot that bounced around four times, and the whole the universe turned on that thing.
That was a great game.
And who was playing? Who was that?
Toronto.
Okay, I didn't even know Leonard was playing for Toronto.
Yeah, remember?
The semifinals, when the semifinals come, then I'm all in.
I know. It's still a great sport. Game 7.
It is. No, it is.
Hockey or basketball are the best.
I was watching Portland and Denver, and I was delighted. And Evan was updating me on players, and I was like, "Oh my god, how do I not know this?" And the Curry brother,
Seth, yeah.
I'm looking him up, going, "Wait, he played at Duke for three. Mm-hmm. I don't even barely remember that." Was Duke really good when he was there? Did they win a title with him?
I don't know. I barely remember him too.
Yeah, how's he as a pro though? He hasn't done that much.
This matchup
with Curry brothers is really not a big matchup.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. So, should we?
What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
I
got out of that was the Curry brothers sounded delicious.
The Curry brothers.
That's me. A food take.
I saw Bob Probert, tough guy. Has anybody else seen the documentary yet?
No.
I'm surprised Brandon hasn't checked it out.
No,
being
I read.
Hockey guy, he is. Oh, he's before your time.
Well, no, I still recall him, and I've watched a million videos of him on YouTube, and I did read his book, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. His widow and a few people worked on a documentary on Bob, and it was really good. It was really tough to watch, too. I mean, I was very, didn't feel like quite like crying, but... It was close. It was really tough. I mean, 45 years old, this big, strong guy just goes down in a boat. Wow. And that's it. No bringing him back. And then when they carry you through his life, from being a junior. I guess the thing that stuck with me was, when you're a young hockey player, a young athlete, and we see these guys screw up so much. They're 17 and they're... all of a sudden the world is theirs. And of course guys are going to screw up.
Sure.
He developed quite a drinking habit because he was the guy. He was a shy guy. When he drank, he wasn't shy.
It lightened him up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, when you get injured and stuff like that, isn't alcohol one of the first things?
Sure.
Yeah.
He wasn't really injured, though. He was sidelined by legal trouble, usually.
Yeah. But he had CTE, didn't he?
He had CTE. Yeah, no, they did find CTE in his brain. He was, he was a mess before the big flurry of fights.
Yeah.
He was a mess after his rookie year with the Red Wings. He was already in trouble, DUIs and... the thing coming over the border with coke.
In his undies, yeah.
Yeah, he was, it was really, it was kind of hard to watch. I mean, it's fascinating history, and Red Wings fans just devoured this guy. They just loved him. And it was just so sad seeing him go through all that, and then he ends his career with the Blackhawks, and then you're thinking, okay, settle in with his wife, and he just could not. He did find sobriety for periods of time, but it seemed like there was always something around the corner. And his wife said he never wanted his family to see it when he was, when he lost it, when he went off to Vegas once and missed his twin's birthday, didn't come home and all that. It sounded like he was just a different person when he had a lot of booze in him. Just not Bob Probert, period. And then, I'd forgotten about his arrest in Florida for fighting with a cop. Remember that?
I don't remember that at all.
That was towards the end of his life, I think.
Really?
I forgot what he was doing down there, but the pages of his events that were not good. I mean, it was a long. Well, it was scroll of trouble.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Red Wings? They would have kept him if it wasn't for. Didn't he have something else right before they released him?
He was barely allowed to come in the U.S. And then he got a DUI on his motorcycle.
That's right. Okay.
Where he had a .31. He crashed into a curb, went flying, and he was, could barely get up. And the cop came over and he just said, "Charge me with the usual."
Oh, boy.
He was just hammered.
And that's when the Wings were like,
yeah, that's when the Wings said, "No more." We're done. They released him. And I think he sat out a year, maybe? Or no, the Hawks, maybe the Hawks signed him right away. He got a great deal. He got a big, the biggest payday of his career, thanks to that motorcycle accident. It's a crazy world.
I know. Rock Hudson gets AIDS. And
it's just weird thinking about the future of the NHL, because I really think eventually fighting is going to be pushed out, because you see guys like Wade Belak, Derek Bugard, Rick Ripon, Steve Monitor, all these guys who are dying, you know, suicides,
I know.
CTE, it sucks.
I read a story about...
Fighting is the best part of the NHL.
Bugard.
Well, it has a place
What a sad story. I mean, guy had brain damage, and he couldn't stop screwing up. He just, you know, it's just like the football players when they turn 50 or 45, and all of a sudden it kicks in, and it's just so... It's so weird how their poor wives describe it and their kids. And anyway, Bob Probert, tough guy.
Where did you see it at?
It was on Apple TV.
Okay.
And I it was in the theaters, too. It was in Imagine, and then Avenger just came in and blew it out. Blown out. Bob Probert, tough guy. Blown out.
Taken out by the Avengers. Avengers.
$700 million this past week.
The Avengers did?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what it did this weekend?
So it's probably worldwide. So now, oh my God. Is that what, 2.7?
It's at, that can't be right.
Trudy, Brandon's doubting you.
Well, no, I'm saying this number here can't be right. It's only saying 1.5 billion, but I'm pretty sure it's more than that.
I thought that was the first week out, and now it's,
Can we get Gunther Cunningham off the left side of the screen? I feel that his audio did not live up to his placement in the show.
Rest in peace,
it's
Gunther.
Now making me angry that Gunther Cunningham's
he's gone.
Part of anything today.
Doris can stay.
Oh, come on. That was worth listening to.
I'm not sure it lived up to the hype. The audio quality hurt
it. Well, not the hype. I mean, that's my fault. It's not Gunther's fault.
A couple things just kind of quickly, just because... Alyssa Milano, really, a lot of people were upset this weekend when she felt that women should cancel sex until the Georgia law, until women have control over their bodies. And you know what was funny was, I saw the tweet and I said, I don't think that's going to be popular. just feeling. First of all the men in the world go, you bitch! And secondly, right away, the boomerang started with feminists. Yes, and I wasn't expecting this going... sex is for women and for men, suggesting that women, that only men enjoy sex, is not a very feminist viewpoint. And she was, I mean, there were lectures just piling into Melissa Milano.
It's not a very pro-male viewpoint either. Shouldn't we encourage it?
She was really implying that it's...
I took
it the wrong way when I read it. I thought, oh, it's... I just figured she was blaming men for it.
Well, it makes me...
Well, it was a male judge, I'm sure, probably.
It makes me feel like she only has sex for reproduction. I was shocked at seeing the abstinence
people.
Can't
they just say men in Georgia don't have sex with men in Georgia? Women in Georgia stop having sex?
How about this?
Deny all men sex?
How about this? If that's the route you want to go, don't have sex in Georgia or don't get pregnant in Georgia. That's really what it comes down to.
That would have made more sense.
But weren't you surprised the pro-abstinent people like just loved it? They were all on board. The one thing that surprised me was the LGBTQ angle and reaction. A lot of lesbians were very upset.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
For the same reason I was describing?
Yeah, because you're making sex all about cisgendered, which I guess means you're into the opposite. Gender? Is that what cisgender means? I don't even know.
She just mean no sex with anybody? Because
that's what she was saying.
Why are they chiming up? Because specify.
I feel like they're just bandwagon jumping here. I mean, two lesbians can't get pregnant with each other.
By the way, there was another, speaking of cisgender, because I think I saw the term in this story. There's another YouTube star that's in trouble for hounding young chicks.
Awesome.
And it was pro-Jared was the term. He's a gamer, I think.
Oh, I saw that. That was brutal. His wife unleashed a Twitter storm on his ass.
Oh, didn't he cheat on her? Is that what it was? Yeah.
Well, and he was hustling so many chicks who were fans.
Oh, God.
And this is what happens with these young YouTube people is that it's too much. I mean, too much too soon, I think. And... it sounds like this is something that happens fairly often, is you get a big YouTube following, all of a sudden you go, hey, I went if there's some hot chicks in this following. And they don't really care how old they are.
It's too easy to connect with your fans if you're an influencer.
It just is.
It all really started with he was banging a chick that he worked with, and then he got caught. And so they decided they were going to get a divorce. He put out a statement on Twitter basically saying, this is, you know, between both of us, we both are choosing to do this, blah, blah, blah. So his wife responds with just a Twitter storm. I mean, I'm talking 40 different tweets. It was crazy.
I read them all. It was so quite hilarious.
In fact, there was one. There was one
sorry,
that
not
said,
sorry.
if my husband had solicited to any of you, please respond. And I clicked on that one, and there was so many girls going, can I DM you?
Screen grabs, too.
Yes.
It was endless.
He got busted.
Yeah.
Oof. So does he still have his channel?
He lost 100,000 followers.
He still has his channel, doesn't he?
He does, but he did lose, it was 10% of his entire
following. Sound like there were a lot of underage girls in that DM list. Hmm. Didn't it, Brandon?
Many of them mentioned that they were underage when they sent him messages to Tumblr and Snapchat.
Yep. And here's the funniest part. He's kind of a... Brandon, am I wrong about this? Isn't he kind of just a skinny runt gamer?
Yeah, I didn't.
And he was sending nudes of himself.
Ew.
What does he look like, though?
A tool. A runt. He's a runt. He's a tool. He's a complete tool.
He's got how much money?
There you go, Journey.
A lot.
He kind of looks like DJ Qualls.
Oh, right.
Well, he is not attractive at all.
Oh, God, no.
I can't imagine anyone wanting to have sex with him. Any human being, male or female. Ever.
Wow.
And he was sending out nudes of himself. And he's a skinny runt. There's no muscle on his body. And I'm looking at these pictures going, this guy thought this picture was going to haul in women, really? Of his scrawny chest?
Wow. He is homely. some people have messed around with the picture, though.
I thought the girl divorcing him,
making him look uglier.
I know, if that's possible. The girl divorcing him was way too hot for him,
wasn't she?
His
wife was way hotter than the girl that he was cheating on him with. And she's like one of those cosplayers. Yeah. So she's always like dressed up like Zelda.
Wow.
Yeah, put her picture up.
She got the cat, by the way, in the split. She tweeted out.
That's good. Okay. He has a good chin.
Yeah, people were asking about his cat, and she got very angry. That's my cat! I had it 4 years before I met him! She was a woman
scorned. She tweets, it's also true that he's been soliciting nudes from his fans for years. I was there in the beginning. It was a joke on Tumblr. Then it was its own Tumblr account just for nudes.
Ooh.
His wife dresses up like an elf too much.
But look at that picture. Go back.
It kept escalating secretly. He started a Snapchat for getting news from fans without telling me. I found out via from a fan comment. I felt pressured to allow it, even though I was uncomfortable. Anytime I gave an inch, she took a mile. Don't blame yourself. Why is she blaming herself?
Well, because she allowed him to. She said,
yeah,
no,
but
it was
he's
for
the
fun.
Dick.
No, he is a dick. But why would she say, yeah, nudes are fun?
I believed that he shut it down in late 2017, but I now have reason to believe he continued it long after that. Yeah, I'm sure he did.
She's really pretty.
Yeah, and here's the girl that she...
Yeah, she... Ew. What's that all about?
I don't know.
I realize where...
Are they hooked up?
What?
Oh, yeah, he's been banging her for...
months,
right? Yeah. Dumping
she's,
the...
She's different.
Yeah.
Yes, well, she's, I think she's she does crazy wife. Stuff.
She looks like John Lennon.
Yeah, probably smells like him, too.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Joey's having a coughing attack there.
I know. Yeah. What a good day this is.
I know.
He's got AIDS.
Well, what a weird story. And then I was going to mention, too, that Felicity Huffman...
Felicity First Huffman,
I'm sorry. She plead, and she's going to get possibly... She wants 0 to 4 months, and they're saying as many as
six to nine.
4 to 10. Yeah, that might be right.
So she'll probably get 4. It's really interesting that she...
She only paid $15,000, though.
Yeah.
So her kid was apparently on the borderline, whereas Aunt Becky's kid is a complete idiot.
Yeah.
They paid $500,000.
And hers was, what, to pay off the guy... administering the tests?
Her daughter got double the time to answer the SAT questions.
Oh, as if that's going to help.
And her answers were corrected. I'm going, wait, if her answers were corrected, why does she need double the time? How stupid
she's
is this
slow
kid?
Slow thinker. She's just slow.
Double the time? She had someone correcting the wrong answers.
That's what I was going to say. Just pay for that.
Right.
Maybe deep down they wanted her to learn something, possibly, if that was possible.
Well, how do you have someone correcting your SAT answers? How does that work?
You pay $15,000. That's what it takes.
Yeah, but when you're taking that test,
I thought that.
How is that?
Yeah, I really am. I wish they would tell us, explain this to us.
I thought they did it like in a private room.
Yeah, and now they put a camera on you. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was always led to believe that there was no way to cheat, that they had all your, you know, you have your birth certificate and your passport and everything, and you show them to the proctor when you're done. And, I mean, other people were saying the same thing, but I don't know, when you pay $15,000 or $500,000 or $6 million as the Chinese man did.
I know, worth every penny.
And by the way,
she's clapping back to his daughter.
The $6 million man?
Yeah, she's like, I would have gotten to Stanford anyway.
He was bragging about, my daughter did it, and she did it on her own.
Yeah.
And then they find out that, he gave somebody $6 million. Oh, why did he do that if she got it on her own?
It's interesting that first Huffman pleads like that and gets a couple months, and then Aunt Becky's not, she's going down with a fight.
Yeah, Aunt Becky.
Although hers sounds a lot, it's more serious, I suppose.
Yes, it is.
Plus, the ingrate daughter is so spiteful.
By the way, she broke up with her boyfriend.
Oh.
William Macy. Oh, yeah, she did. What's her name? Olivia Jade?
Yeah. He's some singer.
He looked like a tool to me.
He looked like a total tool.
He looked perfect for her, yeah. Actually.
But she could do so much better.
William Macy was nowhere to be found for the court case today. He wasn't. He was
Good
nowhere.
Thinking.
He was nowhere to be found. He has nothing to do with this, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. Why would he be there? Thing.
Well, I saw him give a no comment a couple times. He appears very irritated. I almost feel like he's angry at her.
I don't have time for this.
He should be angry at her.
Felicity First Huffman.
He should be angry.
No, I really got the feeling that she did this without him.
Yeah.
No,
sounds like he's an absentee father. He doesn't have any idea what's going on.
Okay, maybe she's mad at him because he didn't fork over $7,500 of the $15,000.
He's really embracing that character Frank from Shameless. No time for his kids. Has no idea what's going on.
Maybe he took commission.
Unless it benefits him.
He set it up. He took 10%. It's going to cost $40,000. Took $25,000 for himself.
I'm not surprised. I don't know. You would think there'd be, actually, you know, think there'd be a show of support.
You do see these parents, where one or the other keeps secrets with the child, which is it's not a good idea.
No, God.
Don't tell dad, don't tell mom, but we're going to do this with. No, the parents are supposed to be the team. Yeah,
tell
the child
truth.
Is the underling.
Yes.
underling.
Yep, that's the way it should be. That's the way it's going to be. Hey.
Yeah. Well,
you grew up, that's why it's supposed to be.
Doesn't always work out that way, but.
That's the way I grew up, and that's the way I'm going to be.
Actual audio.
I love that guy.
I know. He's
a great parent.
Awesome. Zod Ford and Holly is conducting that unique VIP Key for Key event. During this event, you can exchange your current vehicle for a brand new 2019 Ford without spending a dime out of your own pocket. Their goal is to match or lower your monthly payment. Zod Ford managers have been authorized to assist you in terminating the remainder of your loan or lease, no matter what you owe. This event is a straight VIP Key for Key exchange. You give Zod Ford the key to your current vehicle. They will give you the keys to a brand new 2019 Ford. No hassles, no gimmicks, no shenanigans. Go see Maz or Maz's personal sales manager, Gary, or any of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County. Tell them that we sent you. And Dr. Yaldo is on all four shows, as is David Hall. By the way, David Hall, our tips were 9 last week.
All right.
I think people are actually, is it possible tips came from the other shows already? They've only been on 2 shows.
Of course.
No, they've been on, LaDuff, Elric.
9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9.
And No Filter, maybe twice at the most. That'd be incredible. They've been on No Filter for what, 2 shows, 3 shows?
Third. Today's the third show.
Third show, okay. Wow. Well, that's pretty cool, though. Jess is off my ass. Possibly, although she did not.
Until next month.
I felt I did not get proper recognition for providing 9 tips.
Yeah.
And
she owes you something.
I should have an email back by now. I'll check in a minute. We're approaching combined 900,000 downloads a week after starting at 0 3 weeks ago. So the Red Shovel Network is getting a lot of messages out, like Dr. Yaldo's. But we only have 2 network sponsors so far. Luke is almost there. Luke's going to join No Filter, I think. Like Dr. Yaldo, who's ratcheted up the lifestyle of so many of our listeners with his two state-of-the-art surgeries, Custom Cats LASIK, the most advanced in the world where people get better than 20/20, the multifocal lens implants for people 45 or older who want to get great far vision and never need those annoying reader glasses again, multifocal implants, rid Eli of glasses, reading glasses, and many of you have raved about how great it was to throw that 20th century crap like contacts, glasses, and readers in the garbage. Make the call, get up to half off on Custom LASIK through this week if you mention Drew and Mike. Let's see. It's to the 15th, so today is the 13th.
13th.
Got a couple days. 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And then Hall Financial, 9 tips. And I know these people are all going to be happy, too, because they do a fantastic job. Top mortgage company in Michigan for client service and big supporters of our show. Where's that drop from?
That is
Hitler.
Yeah, Inglorious Bastards. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
That's what I thought. David Hall and Hall Financial, team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance. They do a lot of refinancing. You've heard from our listeners. They have over 600 five-star reviews because they always put you first. They get back so quickly. So many people have clicked the link and filled out the online form, and they get a call back in 30 minutes or on a Saturday or on a Sunday. Or you go to drewandmike.hallfg.com, and they'll get back to you that way. Or you can call 248-308-5000. And many things they can do for you, help you get your first home, your dream home, your refinance, save a couple $100 a month. How huge is that to just find money that way? Or maybe you want to shorten the length of your loan or take money out of your house, any of the above. You won't be disappointed with Hall Financial, NMLS number 1467435. And
One more note on Alyssa Milano. I was just reading a little bit more about it here.
Yeah. No, I'm so happy that she did that. That was a great idea.
She wrote an op-ed, and in it she noted that Iroquois women refused to have sex in the 1600s as a way to stop unregulated warfare. I think we're a little far from the 1600s, but more recently she noted that Liberian women used a sex strike in 2003 to demand the end of a long-running civil war. Now, all due respect to Liberia, because now I'm going to shit all over it, it's nowhere near America in 2019. I think we're a little more westernized and further on. They do speak English.
Alyssa Milano, she really does nothing but tweet, does she?
Well, yeah, but here's the other part that I found interesting. Someone got a hold of her and asked her about, you know, the backlash, to which she said, quote, "I mean, I don't know. I sent a tweet last night, and I really haven't thought much past that this morning." Bullshit. She has to know the how much it's flipped on her.
I don't understand these Twitter hags. These people that just do nothing but tweet,
it's a
and they
bubble.
Get there's outrage, and I would get so tired of that. It's like, you know, honestly, Righteous Rick, same thing.
Oh boy, yeah.
You know, he's all of this phone, and you know, there's all this, you know, fighting back and forth, and I would just be backing down constantly. I don't know how these people do it. I really don't.
Yeah, he sent me another text today.
Is he resolving this thing? I mean, it's now at a point where it really isn't something we probably should talk about a great deal.
No, yeah, I don't worry about
where it's at now.
Yeah, I think he's trying to resolve. He's provided some proof to the people that asked for some proof of something.
Does this mean that this thing will resolve itself?
I've resolved it. I'm done with it.
Love to see it over. For him. It's over for me.
It's over for everybody.
I hope so.
As far as everyone's concerned.
I do want to know the ending, though. I will admit to that.
When it's fully resolved, I'd like to hear the full ending.
I hope it's done satisfactorily for all. I'll just say that.
A little cryptic.
Everyone ends up
a little happy. Cryptic, but I agree.
Okay, so Free Britney.
Ah, boy.
Britney has joined the Free Britney Parade.
Britney has joined the Free Britney?
Britney has joined the Free Britney Parade. She now is suggesting that she is not free. And this story, to me, is so annoying because I think mostly it's about the idiocracy that we now live in. Britney Spears has not talked to her mom in 13... No, I'm sorry, since 2002, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. She and her mother are estranged. Hmm. All of a sudden, her mother starts liking these Free Britney tweets. Hmm. And what do you know? They're holding hands going into court where they're trying to determine if Britney can be free. free to run her own life, free to have her own money whenever she wants, and free to decide what she wants to do with her own money, and free to do what she wants with her own kids.
Free to walk around barefoot as well.
Exxon bathrooms.
She was in the court. She was barefoot in the court.
She was barefoot, yeah. What's wrong with her? Honest to God.
She's mentally ill.
She is suggesting that she was forced to go to this rehab. Now, she put out a statement that her father was sick, and this sent her spinning, and she needed emotional help to deal with her father's illness. Her father was very, very sick, and I think he still is not well. Her father has overseen what the courts determined was necessary, that someone had to be in charge of Britney Spears. I realize she's 37 years old, but she apparently, and I'm going to provide some proof for this because the whole Free Britney thing is so stupid to me. It's not that I want her under control of her father. It's that she honestly, it sounds to me like she cannot control her life. And I think this is from being a child star and not being real smart and having some problems too. She has some legitimate problems, and I'm not trying to belittle those at all.
Some poor impulse control.
To say the least. She also has, you know, something in her head that's not right, that medication has helped, but she lost custody of her children. She's Britney Spears. She has all the resources in the world, and she still was not allowed to have her children for a long time. Now, under the guardianship of her father, she was able to get 50-50 custody of her kids. Now, she herself has said, my meds aren't working anymore. And her father said she'd stop taking them.
Oh.
We all know how dangerous this can be for anyone, not just Britney Spears. So she claims that he forced her to go into a facility. First of all, she did go in a facility, and then she was out of there. She was getting yogurt, and she was doing all kinds of crazy. It's like, well, what kind of facility is this? And also he said,
so easy these days.
She was forcing her to take medicine. Now, she's 37 years old. I don't believe that her father was forcing pills down her throat. I don't think I believe that. And I also want to say this, that the fear of having conservatorship is that the person is going to steal your money. Money's not her problem. She's got millions and millions of dollars. She made a ton of money while in this conservatorship. She did the two runs in Vegas that were extremely successful. And my impression is that she's not been hurt financially in any way, shape, or form. She does have to pay people to do this. She has to pay her father.
Did you see how much she pays her father's lawyer?
Yeah. I think it's $400,000 a year, isn't it?
Yeah, just over.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's to keep an eye on him as much as anything, I think. I think his job is to oversee the conservatorship and make sure that
it is. Yeah.
So, I mean, $400,000.
I would do it for half that, but.
I agree. I should go into the conservatorship business. And KFED, you know, he's the one that took her to court to say, she cannot take care of my kids. He took her to court, and she lost. And I don't even think it was close.
That's a crazy deal. Well, that he, Kevin Federline, is more responsible than she is.
Yeah, well.
I know. It's really
a concept
something.
That I just can't. I don't.
It's because he has the support of the Cameo family.
And Shar Jackson.
That's right.
Wow. Blows my mind. She can't drive. Why she can't drive a car story, though.
She can't drive a car without permission because, first of all, she would go on these crazy high-speed chases with paparazzi behind her. It was very dangerous. Right. And secondly, because they have control over her phone, her car, everything, they determined that she was texting and driving with really she just could not be asked to text and not drive.
So she had Magoo to do both all over the place.
Yes, apparently that's what they determined. And so they said, you cannot take your phone in the car if you're going to drive.
Wow.
And she was limited on how long she was allowed to talk on the phone, too, because they felt that bad things happened when she was on her phone. I mean, it's so insane. I mean, she's like a 3-year-old.
So these people taking care of her and putting guardrails around her are literally saving other people's lives.
Yeah.
Probably.
Come in contact
she's
with Britney
Spears.
She's
a dangerous society.
And certainly her as well. And it seems like it. I mean, she has 50-50 custody of her kids. I mean, it's really, you know, this whole idea, this Free Britney thing, is just the dumbest thing, started by people that have no idea what's going on. She now is latched on to her mom. Her mother, by the way, is a disaster area. Her mother was the worst stage mom possibly ever. And in fact, she was so angry with her mother, who by the way, flew to Las Vegas and said, "You're not getting married." Brittany was, what, 22 years old at that point?
Yeah.
She said, "This marriage is over. You go down and have a couple drinks, Jason Alexander."
Okay.
As seen in the TV movie, which of course is fact.
What a dope.
And he goes down, and they end up settling, giving him, what is it, $55,000 or
and
something?
And a seat and coach on the way home.
A coach flight home.
He flew out private with Brittany to Vegas and had to fly coach home, which I bet he's not the first person that's done that in Vegas.
He's so upset, he quit school over it, which I didn't know until I was reading something today.
There are probably other factors.
I imagine so.
I'm sure it wasn't going too well.
But, you know, that was when there was no conservatorship, yet her mother told her to do this.
Is there a small part of you that wants him to just release her for like 3 months on a trial basis to see what crazy shit she does?
I admit it. I wouldn't mind seeing it.
The world would never be the same again.
Like, you know, she's at the Venetian going, I want those ones. Yes. That big blue one, do we get that one? Like, she just turns into female Jackson. I want that one and that one.
No, that could be a lot of fun. So,
I mean, we don't have Jackson around. There's Brittany today.
These things are mine, right?
There's a small part of me that wants that.
These.
It's funny. That's like the bathing of Apollo and stuff.
Do we ever get this one, these ones?
Huh?
Remember Chaotic, her TV show?
Oh, yeah. Did you listen to The Best of yesterday?
I did not.
There was a big section where he went back and listened to Chaotic.
Well,
it was very funny listening back to it, I thought.
It is one of the worst professional moves anyone has ever made in the history of entertainment because it exposed her for the complete moron that she is. And not only that, the moron that Federline is.
Yeah.
They're both, they're like, I don't know, combined age of 9?
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
I feel bad for those kids.
And
such bad genealogy.
I know. Yeah. Oh, God, I didn't think about that.
Those kids will be fine.
Will they?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is that possible to time travel speed?
Speed?
Did you know she openly kissed Madonna?
I'm going to read the Rolling Stone article from 2008 because it's just incredible. For those who are just mindlessly hashtagging Free Britney, consider this. Okay. She's at the mall on a Sunday afternoon in the Valley. One moment, shoppers in Westfield Topanga Mall are living in the real world, monotonously selecting a new shade of eyeshadow, rubbing perfume on wrists. But upon the rapture of Britney Spears, they're giggling, laughing, orgasmic, already sharing their secret on cell phones. Her legs are actually really skinny, an adolescent whispers into her sidekick as Britney beelines for the Betsy Johnson boutique. It goes on. Britney is 26 years old. It's 2008. She's making her way through the crowd, and she decides she wants to buy all this stuff. And she's with, is it Adnan Galib? Is that his name?
Adnan Syed?
Adnan Galib.
Okay.
That's her boyfriend at the time. He's there. So he is handed her black Amex credit card.
Nice.
And the card won't go through. And there's embarrassment because it's Britney Spears, and there's nothing wrong with the machine. And so they keep trying to get it to go through. "Please," begs Galib, "get this done quickly." One of the girls runs to Britney's dressing room, explaining the situation through a pink gauze curtain. A wail emerges from the cubby, guttural, vile, the kind of base animalistic shriek only heard at a family member's deathbed.
Over her black card?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
"Fuck these bitches," screams Britney, each word ringing out between sobs. "These idiots can't do anything right." Galib dashes over to console her, but she's already spitting, growling, throwing a big bottle of soda on the floor so that it begins to spill underneath the curtain, and then she's got a box of tissues and is throwing them on top of the wet floor along with piles of discarded merchandise.
Oh, she's a rock star.
A new card,
like a rock star. Yeah.
A new card finally goes through, but by then Britney is out the door, leaving her shirt on the ground and replacing it with the red top. "Fuck you, fuck people, fuck, 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 fuck," she keeps screaming, her face splotchy and red as she crosses the interminable mall floor, the crowd growing behind her larger and larger. "Leave us alone," she yells. The siblings run after Britney, the two girls, to get a video to put up on YouTube, and some of the shop girls run after to hand off the merchandise she left behind. There's an entire bridal party wearing yellow t-shirts who have pulled out camera phones too.
Yeah, boy.
Leave Britney alone!
Is this when the camera phones really started taking off too, around then?
2008, probably. A crush of managers in black shirts and gold name tags try to keep the peace, but the crowd's running after Britney gets larger. Now the shop girls have started to catch up to her, one of them slipping spectacularly in her platform shoes, grazing her elbow. She pulls herself up, mustering the strength to tap Britney's shoulder. I'm from the South, too, and I was wondering if I'd get a picture with you for my little sister. Britney turns to Ghalib and grabs his arm. I don't want her talking to me!
Oh,
she
my
screams.
God.
She rolls around and stares the girl deep in her eyes, her lips almost vibrating with anger. I don't know who you think I am, bitch, but I'm not that person.
Well...
Woo, woo. So let's see. Okay, they then go on to describe that, yes, she is not the girl that people think she is. She's not a good girl. She's not America's sweetheart. She's
raving psycho.
She chain smokes, doesn't do her nails, tells reporters to eat it, snort it, lick it, fuck it, and screams at people who want pictures for her, their little sister. She's nice. Not someone who can live by the most basic social rules. She's someone who... when she has had her 1 and 2 year old sons completely taken out of her care with zero visitation rights, appeared at Los Angeles Superior Court to convince the judge to give her kids back, but then decided not to go inside. And she's someone who did this twice. She's the perfect celebrity for America in decline. Like the president, she just doesn't give a fuck, but at least we won't have to clean up after her mess for the rest of our lives. That's referring to Bush. If Britney was really who we believed her to be, a puppet, a grinning blonde without a cool thought in her head, a teasing coquette, clueless to her own sexual power, none of this would have happened. She is not book smart. But you would think she's intelligent enough to understand what the world wanted of her, that she was created as a virgin to be deflowered before us for our amusement and titillation.
Wow.
She's not good job, Timberlake.
She is not ashamed of her new persona. She wants us to know what we did to her. Well, it may be true that Britney suffers from the adult onset of a genetic mental disease or a disease created by fame not yet named. Or that she is a habitual, frequent, and continuous drug user, as the judge declared. Or that she's a cipher with boundless depths. Make no mistake, she's enjoying the chaos she is creating. The look on her face when she's goofing around with paparazzi, one of whom, don't forget, she is dating, is often one of pure excitement. For years, everyone manipulated Britney, says a close friend. There was always a little game. She didn't want to come out of the trailer. The label would come to me saying, please talk to Britney, make her perform, and we'll take you on a new shopping. We'll take you on a shopping spree. Now it's her time to play. Britney epitomized.
Do you know, what's the timeline? So this is 08. When did she?
06, when she, the umbrella.
Yeah, that's which 06. Is my favorite Britney yeah. moment when she attacked that car with the umbrella.
With ball. Her head shaved.
Yeah, it was a great.
Yeah,
look.
They get to that.
What about Chaotic? Was Chaotic out yet?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure about
so
Chaotic.
So we know that she's a mess by this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, she's a total yeah. mess. She just lost her kids.
Okay.
You know, they had the whole thing in the bathroom with her little door locked and then begging her to
yeah forgot about that too.
Over the past year it looked several times like she was going to get it together, but then girlfriend messes up again. She started off with a bang, the head shaving plus attacking a paparazzi car with an umbrella, followed by rehab, a magazine shoot where she let her dog poop on a $6,700 gown, a hit and run, the charge was dropped, and I forgot about the hit and run.
Yeah.
An investigation by the Department of Children and Family Services, the sad performance at the VMAs, and her hospitalizations on January 3rd and January 31st. Her madness was chronicled by news chopper spotlights. Before her first hospitalization, Britney shut herself in the bathroom with her youngest son for 3 hours, wearing only panties, arguing with cops. Arguing with cops who tried to give her a sweater. Don't cover me up, I'm fucking hot! Meaning warm, although the other interpretation of the word is funnier. I'm fucking hot. Britney's assistant told police she demanded her vitamins, Britney's code for pills, though it's not known what she was taking.
Do they? Hey, I wonder if they know now. What do they speculate that she was on now?
I think she liked Xanax, and sounds like she liked pain meds like everybody else.
Huh?
And they talk about her going through people that she's just dropped. She collects people, she drops them. I mean, one little thing and you're gone. She has no stylist, image consultant, crisis control manager, or driver. She's pushed away her family, her brother and father. It's sad that all the men in my life did not know how to accept a real woman's love, she explained. Her sister, Jamie Lynn, whom she speaks to on the phone and sees rarely, and most importantly, her preening, difficult mother, Lynn, whom Britney considers poisonous. Famous for 2 saccharine books about her fabulous relationship with Britney. How funny is that? Lynn is now desperately trying to help her family, but her attempts have fallen flat. She was the force behind selling Jamie Lynn's pregnancy photos to OK Magazine for $1 million.
Bitch.
And she encouraged Dr. Phil's visit with Brittany in the psychiatric ward of Cedars-Sinai Medical Center.
Oh, boy.
It may be Brittany's family who succeeds in retaining control of her now in collaboration with doctors who are advising she remain in a hospital setting as long as legally possible. She wasn't allowed to see her kids in January. It's unclear when she will get them back. Under terms of their prenup, Kevin Federline was due only $1 million of Brittany's estimated $30 million fortune, and his sole route to future riches is custodial support. Although his intentions are widely considered to be more honorable, Federline currently receives $20,000 a month. His hope is to keep at least part-time custody, a goal his lawyer is well on the way to achieving in the court of Commissioner Scott Gordon. In her legal case, Brittany has alienated those trying to help her. Her divorce attorney, Laura Wasser, dropped her a few months ago. Her current legal team of Trope and Trope requested removal at one point.
Oh, my God. She must just be intolerable.
She's impossible. You can tell Brittany all day she has to follow court orders to get her kids back, and she will lucidly and rationally listen to what you have to say, says an attorney. But there's a disconnect, and she'll be right back to asking, why does this fucking flea need to take my deposition for me to mother my children?
Well, how do you argue that logic? Yes. What do you say to that?
And then they get into her running around doing mundane errands to the gas station, the pet store, Starbucks, Rite Aid, and the paparazzi following her everywhere, and her loving, you know, speeding, taking wild turns, and 50 cars following. I mean, it's so stupid.
It's at that point, couldn't she just go back to Louisiana?
Yeah.
At least for a while. I mean, paparazzi's not going to follow you around there.
Well, they make it sound like she likes this, that this is fun.
I've always thought that if you're in the tabloids a lot, you must kind of like it.
Sure. But sentencing her to go to Louisiana is a great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Why not?
Just fence in some sort of area.
What are we good for?
So they really go into
her in like she's a wild alligator. Do a sideshow.
They go deeply into the whole tabloid. You know, this is when everyone had to have her picture anytime, every time, and it was worth a lot of money. And she loved it, too. And she would occasionally give pictures to people that she decided she liked so they could make money.
Yeah, see, that's why she wouldn't move.
The flashiest new player is Shiraz Hassan, a Pakistani-British immigrant who recently founded Hollywood.tv with backing from investors for His Highness of Dubai. A devout Muslim who can be found at the mosque on Friday for prayers. He also drives a yellow Lamborghini.
Cool.
And it tells a story about how he determined Brittany was the biggest star in the world. And he realized it was his calling to build a paparazzi agency and brand with Brittany's soap opera as the centerpiece. By the blessing of God, my logo is on AP Entertainment Tonight and CNN, he says. He leans in and confides, I'm going to take Paris to Dubai. The sheik said, any amount of money she wants is fine. And next I'm going to take Brittany. She can have her own island. Trying to get an interview.
Nice thinking, sheik. Do you think there's a problem with some of those countries? And they think they can just do stuff like that?
And just take her away.
You know what else that other guy said?
We should give her to him.
He also said,
I'm going to burn up the rubber with my Lamborghini.
So let it happen.
So this guy who wrote the story for Rolling Stone is trying to get an interview with Brittany, and he's describing how crazy it is. A friend of a friend sets me up with a guy she says will introduce me to Brittany, but it has to happen right away. The man insists I have a signed contract from Rolling Stone. He's also going to want money. I tell her to make the meeting. An hour later, a good-looking Danish guy, Klaus, pulls up to a Beverly Hills street corner. He was the host of Brittany's 26th birthday party at his swag event, the Scandinavian-style mansion. Paris Hilton and Sharon Stone attended. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy who gets a celebrity boutique Kitson to open its doors for Brittany at 2 a.m. like he did in January. In yet another shocking image of Brittany, she arrived in fishnet tights and without a skirt, her white panties visibly stained with menstrual blood.
Oh!
What an animal.
What?
I know.
She's horrible.
Gross.
What? He gets out of a blue Porsche and a t-shirt that reads, Fuck Rehab!
Fuck it.
I grab my laptop case.
You're not ragging it, are you?
Is that the contract, he asks, pointing at my case. He leans in. For the interview, are you offering $2 million? Of course, I have $0 to offer him, but I decided to play along. He tells me to get in his car. Brittany and I are really, really good friends, said Klaus. That's my contract for a $1 million deal, but it's all friends. We're going on vacation together soon on the jet to a super secret location. He zooms down winding streets. I'm so sick of everyone in this town thinking they can get celebrities to come to their events for a free tube of lip gloss. My celebrities get free furs and diamonds.
My
Britney is a queen.
Oh, Lord.
You know how sometimes things can seem like a little bigger deal because, you know, you're down there.
So then they go into Jamie, her father, who popped wheelies on his motorcycle in front of the VFW and divorced his first wife 2 weeks before he married Lynn. His own mother committed suicide when he was 14. An hour inland of New Orleans and the dairy capital of the South until the 70s, Kentwood was in the death spasms of a faltering economy during Britney's childhood, with few new businesses opening other than mineral water bottling plant. Lynn worked as a second-grade teacher, Jamie as a contractor with projects in Memphis. He generally came home on weekends and drank too much. Jamie is clean now, but when Britney was growing up, he was a horrible addict. Lynn became transfixed on her talented daughter, partially as a way of relieving some of the marriage's pressure. By age three, Britney was enrolled in choir, dance, and gymnastics lessons. By six, she'd won talent. Blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on. The family began to fall in debt as Jamie's construction business took a downturn. They decided to wager their fortunes by sending Britney to Manhattan. Over the next few years, she and Lynn would split their time between New York and Kentwood as Britney booked commercials, played the lead in a Broadway play, and performed on Star Search. The family declared bankruptcy before she attained her dream. At 12, she landed a role in the Mickey Mouse Club alongside Christina Aguilera and Justin.
Yes. And Gosling. Wasn't Gosling part of that?
Yeah.
Gosling?
I think Ryan Gosling was part of that.
Oh, I thought you meant John Gosling. I was like, what? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, the death of Britney.
That would have been awesome.
I just broke the internet.
How do you think I got on that show, John and Kate Pothay?
Isn't it weird how many, and Miley Cyrus later on? Right?
She has a new gig, by the way, not Miley, but Kate Gosling has a new TV show coming up. It's a dating show.
Oh, that's nice. Is she dating people? Or
yeah, no. You can go date her.
You
it's a new TLC series called, what would you call it if you had Kate Gosling? What else?
There's got to be the number 8 in there, right?
No, not
Kate
8.
Plus mate.
Oh, you're so close, Brandon.
That's a great idea.
What else rhymes with Kate?
Date?
Kate plus date.
Oh, God.
So she's just going to go out with people? Fuck?
Yeah, and they're going to bang her.
I mean, how long can you cash in?
That's a great name.
That'd be great if she just nailed every guy on that show.
Sure.
Why not?
It would build ratings. She'd make more money.
That's probably why she would do it.
Has 8 more kids.
Meanwhile, John's still spinning in Applebee's or what? Chili's.
Chili's. How long can you?
I'm on Team John now.
How long can you cash in on 8 kids? I mean, the kids are 15 and 18, I think, aren't they?
Oh boy, I don't know. Yeah, they're up there. They're definitely teenagers because I saw a picture of John with 2 of them on Mother's Day, huh? He was with 2 of the kids on Mother's Day.
He's not their mother, though.
I know.
Hmm.
She doesn't want that.
There's too many of them, though, yeah. So they have to spread them out.
You can't keep track of them.
Okay, so.
Sorry, continue.
Yeah, I'm just trying to explain why this Free Britney thing is so silly, and this article does it better than anything I can imagine.
It's really interesting, though. She really did live like a rock star. Is it? Because she was this young.
She was a rock star. She was a crazed rock star. I mean, she's like Keith Richards but Keith is actually a lot nicer. She sounds like a beast.
And literate.
She really does.
Like Barry Manilow. You are so rude.
Yeah, Barry Manilow. You know, I was reading the book by Fran, what's the?
The Cleveland one?
Belkin. Belkin Productions. Yeah, Fran Belkin, who says that Barry Manilow's writer said you could not look at him.
Yeah.
That you literally had to turn around. If he walked by you on the way to the stage, you turned around. I mean, I was
Diana Ross, too.
I never believed anyone really had that. I thought that was just a rumor, but apparently
it's
true.
Dave Matthews have it? Were we allowed to look at him?
Matthews?
We're not supposed to look at him? Through the window at him.
That's what it was. Oh, we couldn't look through the window at him.
I think that was that was greater media that didn't want us looking in the window.
No, I think it came straight from Matthews.
You asshole, stay over here and don't look through that window at Dave Matthews.
and then
we wouldn't look at him if he were.
It's funny.
105.1 finally had something we would like to have had. Although it wasn't, I don't know, was Dave Matthews really anything to riff? Not really.
No, it was a 10. It was a alt 105.1 or whatever the hell it was.
But I like Dave Matthews. I wanted to look in the window.
What's funny is they were very obsessed with us not looking through the window. But meanwhile, a stalker sat in the first row. Yeah.
A stalker won and was in the group watching him play.
I love that. That's so... Oops!
By the way, did Dave recognize his own stalker?
That's how I heard the story. Like, he noticed her and they removed her before he even started playing.
Yeah, boy.
He's allowed to look through the window.
Well, continuing with Britney, for how long, I don't know. Because this article just goes on forever, and I don't want to read the whole thing. But thanks to the Gen Y boom, teen music began to explode with the Backstreet Boys and Spice Girls, the perfect musica for America's pre-9/11 optimism. Britney was picked up by Larry Rudolph, an entertainment lawyer turned manager, who, by the way, is a proven success. I mean, this is no Lou Pearlman.
Uh-huh.
Larry Rudolph was, I think, pretty well respected, and I think he pretty much killed it with Britney, didn't he? Because it was really when she dropped Larry Rudolph, wasn't that when a lot of the disaster started?
It sounds like it, yeah. He was done with her.
I'm not saying he didn't do anything wrong, but, I mean, he killed it. He was in the process of packaging NSYNC with Johnny Wright, manager of New Kids on the Block, and the Backstreet Boys.
This is from his first meeting with Britney.
You still get periods?
I don't know why he asked that.
I just want to know she wasn't pregnant. They sent Britney to Sweden to record with Swedish pop maestro Max Martin, who had already written her future smash Baby One More Time. Britney then headed back to her Christian day school in Mississippi. She loved it. She had basketball practice and a handsome boyfriend, Reg Jones. She reportedly lost her virginity to Reg at 14.
What?
It's...
You got to be kidding me.
It's Louisiana.
We were fed a lie?
Yes, we were.
Did you know she openly kissed Madonna?
Yes. Yeah,
should have known that, then.
Jeez.
This was a secret she couldn't share because Rudolph's plans included marketing her as the teenage Lolita of middle-aged men's dreams.
Ah, gross.
Oh, has anybody talked to Reg?
I don't know. Maybe we should look for Reg. Should we look for Reg?
I don't know, but I found Brian Spears, her brother's phone number, if you want to call him.
See if he's in the Free Britney camp. Why not?
I'm pretty comfortable in that number. I'm going to say...
What percentage?
I'm going to say there's three of them, so 100%. One of them will work.
Wait, you can't make all three numbers 100%.
Is that Reg Jones? It is.
Can you work with Mark?
Wait, pause that for a second.
I'm sorry?
Serious as a shell thought. Reg Jones, are you surprised he's white? I mean, I guess maybe not, thinking of Kentwood. I just thought the name Reg Jones sounded like a black dude.
I was assuming white. I don't know why.
Because it's
I've never seen Britney with a black guy that I know of.
Britney Spears. Now extras found one guy who did. Britney's high school sweetheart. And he's kissing and telling to our Les Trent.
Great.
It's an extra exclusive.
Good.
She drives teenage girls and guys crazy. What any one of them would give to be this guy.
It was like a fantasy or something. I actually dated her.
Meet Britney's high school
boyfriend. He's totally normal
Reg
looking.
Reg Jones. Reg was a senior and captain of the basketball
That's
team
pretty cool
at
Clinton guy.
High School in Macomb, Mississippi, when he asked 13-year-old Britney out. It was a little awkward, her being a freshman and all, but Reg wasn't about to let this doe-eyed schoolgirl get away.
He was a senior going after a freshman?
She wasn't just pretty, she was beautiful back then.
Oh, baby. Beautiful, and get this, a goody two-shoes. Reg says during their 2.5-year romance, which included a homecoming dance and a prom, Britney didn't smoke, didn't drink, she never even cut class. And if you're wondering if they ever got intimate...
Stop! No, we did not.
What, liar?
We did not do that.
He just
want to
violate his NDA.
What year is this from?
1999.
Okay.
I believe this article, I believe, would take precedence over that. Mistaken. In January 99, Britney emerged on the national stage with a video for Baby One More Time as a Catholic schoolgirl in pink pom-pom hair barrettes. We know all this. The genius stroke was that her next single was a ballad with a video featuring her dancing in a white outfit on a pier. By emerging as a vixen and then reverting to a child, she allowed the world to breathe a sigh of relief. All I did was tie my shirt up. I'm wearing a sports bra under it. Ugh. Yeah, I forgot about that whole Britney's a virgin period. That was stupid. I don't know. I thought it was just dumb. Like, why would you tell anyone this? I mean, didn't it seem ridiculous at the time? I'm not really too excited when anyone claims, you know, they're 25. I'm a virgin. I'm with, like, Tim Tebow and the guy in The Bachelor. It's like, you know, it
Doris
sounds...
Day.
I'm not putting it down, but, you know, you're not supposed to brag that you bang 50 chicks in a year. Should you really be talking about having sex with no one? Like it's something noble?
That's a pretty skeevy way of representing her, though. Like she's
that's
a virgin.
Lie. It's
so that all those
anyway.
Creepy dudes can be like, yeah, she's
I
want to
be first, even though no guy wants to be first.
What?
So anyway, they talk about her covering Satisfaction by the Stones, but then she found herself in an elevator with Mick Jagger, having no idea who he was. Lynn retained a management role over the years, but she disappeared from Britney's side, enjoying her newfound wealth and laying the Star Machine groundwork for Jamie Lynn. Oh, God. It was upsetting for Britney to be around her dad. He came backstage one night, and he was wasted. She was devastated. Britney would tell friends her father was emotionally abusive. In 2006, she wrote a poem about sins of the father.
A poem?
The first big blow to Britney's golden girl image were her breast implants. She and Lynn made the decision for her to get them on the assumption that the culture demanded it, but the press leaped on her scornfully. Britney denied having implants. When Britney saw the paper, she was crying uncontrollably. Why is everyone being so mean to me? I got huge tits. You don't be mean to people with huge tits.
I remember when that first happened, and everybody was like, hey, all of a sudden, she's got boobs.
I know.
She had boobs before. Like, last week, she didn't have boobs. And her management is trying to say, she just grew up.
The claim is that her breasts became larger and she had the implants removed. I don't know if I believe that, but whatever. Doesn't matter. When other girls did their boobs, they were like, yeah, I did my boobs. Move on. But Britney was brought up to lie about herself, says Darren Anson, the choreographer of several videos from her first album. Britney would come off stage. She'd come off stage crying. Oh, my God. She sold 39 million records on her first two albums, making her part of a teen pop trifecta with the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Sumner Camp argued that Britney was too young to be pushed so hard, wanted to return to Kentwood. The machine always won. That's what Britney wanted, too, but she wasn't aware of the price tag. There were all these slick business people around Britney who let seedy people come around offering her drink and drugs, and she thought it was fun. If Britney wanted a party to blow off stress, that's what her team wanted her to do. Along comes Timberlake.
Yeah, JT, 99.
He had his head
lay some pipe.
He had his head screwed on so straight he rescued her from that world. He became the great force in her life, but it started a pattern. She began to look for guys to help her get away from the people who control her. Timberlake was still just another guy in NSYNC. The power balance was solid. She wasn't competitive about attention. She just wanted to be in love with him. Once again, her manager gave her instructions. The partnership was to be kept under wraps. They'd tell everyone they planned to stay absent until marriage. They were always running in between each other's buses. And one night, Justin came back to the bus and said to me, dude, smell my fingers.
Oh.
Justin slept with her that night.
Oh,
it was just another year before they publicly admitted they were a couple. A year?
Is that when she wore, or when he, wait, was it him or her that had the,
thanks.
had the cowboy tuxedo outfit? Wasn't that him?
Yes,
that,
was him,
I love
think.
That picture.
Yes.
That picture is so great.
She was always lobbying to appear sluttier, which she thought would make her appear more mature. From the time she was young, Lynn and Jamie let her walk around the house naked.
What?
What? Huh? That's weird.
Britney felt she was being held back. She would joke about wanting to do video topless. Her managers didn't want to scare off her fan base. These middle-aged guys were so intense about... Middle-aged guys?
Yeah.
What is she... Middle-aged
guys? Wait, the guy's running it, her managers.
Oh, okay.
Not her fan. That's how I took it. I don't know. Okay.
About her not being sexual, they pushed her the other way. They tell her to put on a bra or her lip gloss is too dark. They were picking out her panties for her.
What?
Smelling them.
The fuck is...
Gross.
No, those aren't going to work. Give me those.
These ones are good. Put them on.
God.
You know they were the skankiest panties.
Weird.
They picked the skankiest panties in the world.
So
the ones that later would have period blood on them. So that's what we heard.
I see that always had to wait.
She was ready to leave it all behind. All the gay dancers and stylists were always having dirty conversations about her backstage, and one day Britney piped up, God, I want to have hot sex, too. I want to have throwdown hot sex.
Nice.
Her primary creative collaborator on her tour, choreographer Wade Robson.
Oh.
The Michael Jackson victim.
Love you, Wade.
Agreed it was her time to blossom, and she owned her new image by draping the proverbial snake around her neck while performing I'm a Slave for You.
That was awesome. That was a great moment.
She reportedly began sleeping with Robson. What? He was cheating on Jackson? What the hell is this? I didn't even pick up on that. This came out in 2008.
He was
nobody knew that.
He was cheating on Jackson.
He was.
Wade, I caught you, Wade. You were cheating on me.
You're cheating on me for that slut, Britney Spears. Ooh.
Punishment.
So gross.
Let me see your butthole.
Wash your hands. Disgusting smell.
Probably full of cooties now.
In February 2002, Timberlake discovered a note from Robson in Britney's room.
Oh, he did. He did catch up.
Britney and Timberlake were performing on SNL that night. They sat backstage miserable. He refused to accept her apologies. The breakup was a shock.
Wow.
And it was followed by Britney's parents' divorce 2 months later. No one took the time to say, Britney, let's take some time off here. They expect her to drive to dust it off.
You know, Robson got her when she was the ultimate hottest, too. This was the pinnacle.
2002, she was, what, 20?
She's pretty hot and toxic. That toxic video.
Yeah.
When that flight attendant was banging her. I assume. I mean.
So then that she follows that with people who they describe as inappropriate, like Colin Farrell.
Oh, man. And way too old for her.
She boned Fred Durst in the studio, who then bragged about
it.
That's
a weird one.
She'd take the characteristics of whomever was around at the moment. So her orbit, she's like Stevie Nicks in that way. After a kiss with Madonna at the 2003 VMAs, she decided they were soulmates. Huh. We're friends. She started to think she was Madonna. Madonna calls her own shots. I can do that too. But Madonna doesn't need to be told what to do. Britney does. Britney on Madonna.
Maybe did you know she openly kissed Madonna?
Maybe she was my husband in another life.
Oh
my God, she's
deep.
Such a nut. Wow.
An idiot.
Then she's home in 2003, staying with her parents, or her parents' property with old friends, including Jason Alexander, an old childhood crush, a junior at Southeastern Louisiana. After fighting with Lynn one morning, she packed her pals on a plane for 3 days of partying in Las Vegas with plenty of cocaine and ecstasy and Xanax to sleep.
All right.
At 3:30 on January 3rd, after watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre, she and Alexander took a lime green limo to the Little White Wedding Chapel, where she strapped a white garter over ripped jeans and held a small bouquet of roses.
That's like a new movie and stuff.
In cardboard for their $40 wedding. 11 hours later, they called their parents to give them the big news. Lynn flew to Las Vegas immediately. The couple were separated, and the lawyers worked to annul the marriage.
Wow.
Shipped home with a false promise that Britney wanted to stay together, Alexander cracked under the national spotlight and dropped out of school.
Oh, man. Man, he couldn't hang like Reg Jones.
This was to have been the new Britney, and she was genuinely disappointed, wearing a wedding ring in defiance.
Ooh.
Sounds like she's not really her own person yet. Is she in defiance?
I don't think
why
she is now.
Why did she agree to the annulment? She's 21 years old.
Yeah.
She's probably the same age that she was when they first gave her away to the Mickey Mouse Club mentally.
She's never made a decision in her life other than to walk around nude when she was a kid at home.
So the stuff that she does is like real, you know, like I'll run away from home and get married. Yeah,
get on a jet. Well, she apparently had access to her own money then. She was dangerous. Lynn tried to circle the wagons around her furious daughter, keeping her in Kentwood the day of the Grammys and taking her to church instead.
I'm sure that worked.
Within a few months, Britney went on back on tour with In the Zone, a much more mature album with songs about early morning sex and masturbation. Her concept, let's see, by the time she filmed a video for the ballad Every Time, she was down the rabbit hole. Her concept, to die in an overflowing bathtub with pills and booze strewn around and get reincarnated as a baby. Wow, what a great idea. She's very creative. There were demons she was battling. She wanted everyone to know. Jive insisted on a different method of death, Jive Records. So she ran away from the paparazzi before drowning in the tub. I don't remember this video. Does anybody remember?
No. Mm-mm.
Britney was compliant on the first day, but on the second, she refused to leave her hotel room. Finally, Britney agreed to do it, but she said first, I need 3 Red Bulls and call my doctor for pills. She found her soul weak a few weeks later on the dance floor. Kevin Federline.
Yeah.
A high school dropout and son of a Fresno, California auto mechanic with one baby by his girlfriend, Char Jackson, and another on the way. Nicknamed Meat Pole, he was a fixture on the L.A. club scene.
Wait, why did they call him Meat Pole?
I'm not sure. He's tall.
Oh.
And maybe there's something else tall about him.
Ew.
K-Fed was one broke-ass dude. Federline Chevy had been repossessed. Britney got stuck on him. Part of it was that she wanted to pimp Justin's dude, get his spot, and throw it in Justin's face.
Oh.
He invited him on the tour where they got matching tattoos of dice on their wrists and filmed each other obsessively with video cameras. Movies that would become the basis for the reality show, Chaotic. Awesome.
Did Justin care?
One of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Not at all.
And it seems like Justin was a little bummed for a while, didn't it?
Really?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, they do Cry Me a River. Wasn't that about her cheating on him?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Or wanting to come back or something?
It just seems like he'd be so much cooler than
her. It sounds like
he's a cool dude. That's a great song. I don't care what anyone says. I'll fight you. It's a good song.
No, it ain't.
What?
Cry Me a River?
Yeah, it's a great song.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's a good R&B song.
I'm not sure I'd get in a fight over it.
All right, maybe that's a little bombastic.
So, K-Fed.
Rock on, Mark.
She asked.
Say to rock on. I said it's a good R&B song. It's a good song.
I highly disagree with you.
Because you don't like that genre.
Oh, boy. Sounds like the Bee Gees.
Hey, you're right. It does a little bit.
It's a good song. I'm going to fight you.
Wouldn't be my favorite Bee Gees song. No. Would not be my favorite Bee Gees song.
Terrible song.
Great song.
So Britney marries K-Fed. She asks him to marry her. He marries her. 2 weeks after the wedding, she fires her manager and Lynn. She fired her mom.
I mean, Scott Storch wrote it.
Kevin convinced her that they were going to run her business together.
Oh, boy.
With Tim, yeah.
They sold their wedding photos for $1 million. Britney began a blog on her fan site charging $25 membership fee.
Oh, that's just embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
I know.
Insulting.
She popped out 2 kids quickly. Sean Preston, a year after she and Federline were married, the baby pictures were sold for another $1 million to People. Jaden, 1 year later, she kept him under wraps for months in hopes of a big payday, but a paparazzi caught her carrying him on a beach in Maui. Oh, no! Her interest in her recording career was minimal. She recorded 3 songs over the next 3 years. Federline gave Britney license to fully embrace her white trash side, walking into gas station restrooms barefoot, dumping ashtrays out hotel windows, wearing novelty tees like, I'm a virgin, but this is an old shirt. And most notably, not strapping the kids into car seats.
Yeah.
K-Fed loved the high life. He bought a $250,000 silver Ferrari with monogrammed rims.
He's got a kindred spirit in Joe Millionaire.
While cutting his rap album, getting stoned in the home recording studio.
Oh, that's the isn't that the album that gave us Popo Zao?
Yes, it is.
Great album.
I would fight somebody over that song. I think that song is awesome.
One of the worst songs ever.
Kevin still liked hanging out with his friends. Made her feel out of old insecurities, loneliness, fear of abandonment. She started partying, spiraling downward, claiming it was all postpartum. She turned into someone who only wanted to hear yes, and if you're not going to say it, get the hell out of her way!
This is a lot better than Cry Me a River.
Not even close. This was panned by critics. Cry Me a River gets rave reviews. Rave.
You know, I'd forgotten that she asked K-Fed for divorce by text message in November 2006. His response, scrawling on the wall of a nightclub bathroom, today I'm a free man, fuck a wife, give me my kids, bitch. She rehired Rudolph immediately. He took her for a photo op, ice skating at Rockefeller Center for a photo op. Night after night, she hit the L.A. scene, lost, vomiting in public, exchanging clothes with a strip club cocktail waitress, and perhaps most dangerously, hanging out with Paris Hilton. They even split a pair of fishnet stockings, each wearing one leg, and she copied Paris's coochie-flashing stunts 3 times before Rudolph squashed their friendship.
Oh, remember that famous picture?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Paris's nickname for Britney, the animal, because she doesn't think before she acts. The animal had to go to rehab.
I think animals think a little more than what she does.
Probably, I think
insult
I'd like
to animals.
Think so. I know. I agree. Yeah. I'm insulted for Mags and Layla.
Yeah, they have instincts at least.
She went to She went to Eric Clapton's Crossroads in Antigua for rehab, but she stormed out 1 day later, flying to Miami, then coach class to Los Angeles to see her family. She arrived at Federline's house for her babies, but he had joined forces with Lynn and Rudolph and wouldn't talk to her unless she registered at Promises in Malibu. She circled his house 3 times, furious at having conceded to their demands before pulling into a random hair salon in the valley and taking her hair off in big clumps, less as a penance than a liberation. She stayed up for 48 hours straight, driving around, sucking down dozens of Red Bulls, afraid she was being followed by demons or the cell phone charger was taping her thoughts, obsessively listening to the radio for news about Anna Nicole Smith's death. What? What?
It could have been me, y'all.
Are you doing okay?
The reason she was so curious is because Britney said, "That's my fate. I'm next."
See? It could have been her.
After rehab, she was deeply angry, cut out every person in her life who had argued for it. Her parents, Federline, Rudolph, even her best friend. She claimed not to have a drug problem, stopped returning calls to her disloyal subjects, changing her phone numbers. She was queen of the ghost move. She'd be in the booth 1 second, then security would come get her, and we wouldn't know she was gone. Her bodyguard says that she suffered a near overdose with singer Howie Day?
Really?
Howie Day, whom she met at Promises.
Really? I didn't know he was into the hard stuff.
She nearly overdosed in a Los Angeles hotel room. The room was trashed, a glass pipe along a white substance that the bodyguard claimed was cocaine or meth.
Oh, wow.
Mm. What a mess.
Huh. I found a number for Reg.
Yeah, I got a number for Reg, too.
And does it match?
No.
It doesn't?
But you have percentages on all your numbers now.
I know, 100. I also found a new number for Jason Alexander.
Oh, really?
It just says it's new in the last 4 months, so... We'll see if you want to.
Yeah. Should we call? What about her brother?
Any of them.
Which one?
15 numbers here. So.
Can we have percentages on some of these numbers, please?
Well, Mark has already put his own percentages. He has a 75% one for Reg, a 60% one for Reg.
That's 135%.
85 for Jason Alexander. Well, they both could be his. They're independent.
Yeah, but you think this guy has two phones?
Well, yes, a landline and a mobile.
Maybe when he put away in a storage locker.
Yeah, you never know.
What number is most probable?
Jason Alexander
one. Jason Alexander's the one that we should at least try first because there's one of them.
Who is this?
Britney.
That's Britney? That is not Britney.
It's Oops, I Farted Again.
Who is? Oh, oops, that's Oops, I Farted Again?
Yeah, bad quality. I should play it off my TV. Through my microphone. No!
The person you are trying to reach is not accepting calls at this time.
Balls.
Let's go with Reg.
Much better version.
Thanks, Reg.
I think I farted again. I made people leave. Offended my friends. Oh, baby.
That's up for Reg.
This person cannot be reached at the moment. Please leave a message after the tone. After you leave a message, you can modify.
Mark.
What?
That was your 75%.
No.
Oh, baby, baby, oops, I'm breaking some wind. I ripped a big fart. I feel so ashamed. Oh, baby, baby.
None of them?
None of yours.
I quit.
You know what's incredible almost is reading about the idiots that she hooked up with. I mean, idiots. First of all, this company called The Firm was representing her.
They were huge.
They dropped her. They couldn't get a hold of her. They said, we could not contact her. She wouldn't call us back. How can you represent someone?
They were like the
management
group.
She was a gigantic
group.
Client at the time. Well, that's what they said. We've got a lot of business to do, and if we can't do any business, then we can't very well manage someone.
Wasn't that Tom Gorse's brother? Wasn't he part of The Firm?
I don't know. I really don't remember. So, Osama Lufty, Sam Lufty.
Yeah.
He starts handling her business.
Oh boy.
They met at a party in 2007. Lufty told us he had worked for Federline as a private eye, and he knew there was a tap on Britney's phone and a warrant to search her Malibu home for drugs. Federline said this is complete BS. Lufty, by the way, now has two temporary restraining orders issued against him for harassing Britney and her family.
Wow.
That was then.
Wait, he's got another one now.
Yeah, he's still harassing them.
Yeah.
So he filled in as her assistant, tried to be her manager, talking to record label, driving around town. This is so stupid. There are constant breakdowns about all the people who've sold Britney out to celebrity magazines. Assistant she forgot to pay. The bodyguard claimed he'd seen her do coke and regularly walk around the house nude. The 21-year-old college kid she made out with topless in a hot tub on the roof of a hotel in downtown
LA. Who's that lucky guy?
New rumors. She feeds soda in baby bottles to her toddlers.
Oh,
She asked her dentist to whiten the toddler's teeth. They were baby teeth. She likes Purple Monster, which is
Monster energy drink.
Vodka, Red Bull, and NyQuil.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Oh, she's into purple drink.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, apparently in the hills, it's Monster.
This is when Brittany became reclusive.
Oh, Scott.
Oh, my
God. Sounds delicious right now.
Does, really?
This is someone I think needs some help.
She's fine. She'll be fine.
Free Brittany!
I'm telling you, just let her out on a trial and see how she blows the money for 3 months. And sign her back up.
To do what, though, after that?
Well, what do you mean?
She's not going to be in any shape to do her show anymore.
Well, just see how she's
after
blowing her money.
After 3 months of herself.
If she blows her money in 3 months and put her back and, you know, have that lawyer run it again. Give her an allowance. She shows she can do it, extend it month by month.
The animal.
That's great.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. If she is indeed freed, can you imagine what a flaming mess this will be?
That'd be great.
It will be.
For our own entertainment. Carefully. I mean, I feel bad for her, but boy, it'll be fun to watch.
What happened with this horrible national anthem? Possibly the worst ever.
This story's getting wild, man. It's a guy down in North Carolina for a minor league team, and I think he's like the in-game host. And they claim the person they hired to sing the anthem backed out. So the only person who could do it was this in-game host.
Can you see?
Is he goofing?
By the dawn,
I think he's giving it his all.
Early light. Who's... Right. Let me hear you, people.
He forgot the words.
Please.
Let me hear you, people.
Yeah. Because he wants them to sing because he forgot the words.
Oh, because he can't remember.
And the
Oh, he just wants to hear the crowd.
The perilous line, or the ramparts we were so gallantly.
I don't think this is the song where you let the crowd
and
sing.
And the rockets
red
glare, the bombs bursting.
I mean, maybe Mr. Methane, but not this guy.
Gay fruit.
He's got some hard notes to hit coming up.
That our flag, that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet sing for the land of the free and the home
big
of
ending.
The brave.
He finished strong.
Nailed it.
Play ball. He has since lost his job.
What?
They fired him.
Wait, why?
I mean, I shouldn't even say this because it goes without saying that he and his family have received death threats. His children have been bullied at school.
By the way, have you noticed how some death threats occasionally are taken seriously? Very occasionally.
Only if they're government officials.
Jesus, listen to this.
But, I mean, I don't believe any death threats are real. I really don't. I think all death threats should be treated equally. Just because you're a public official doesn't mean your death threat is any more ridiculous than anyone else's.
Legally, it does, though, unfortunately.
No, I know, but it doesn't.
I don't know why they're
so
special.
It's not any more real. I mean, the president, yes.
I tend to agree.
Absolutely. Because they're just, I mean, there's so many death threats. We could spend billions a year just on death threats. But why don't...
So this guy's kids have been bullied at school. Of course, he's been mocked online where people have referred to his performance as, quote, disrespectful to America, borderline treasonous, and damn near an act of war.
An act of war.
One detractor suggested that someone should
We're going to go to war with this guy?
Yeah, just him.
Who's on his team? Does he have anyone else? Does he have any firepower?
One detractor suggested
assault weapons?
Someone wanted someone to come out of the dugout and, quote, smash Hayworth's head with a bat.
Whoa.
It was terrible.
I would have
watched. But if he was really trying, if they pressed him into duty because somebody didn't show up, I mean, it was a mistake. Why can no one make a mistake anymore?
Well, you're not allowed to make any mistakes,
ever. Come on, really? Just because someone put it online? If it was never online,
no one would know.
You'd go to work today and it'd be no big deal.
I mean, it brought a lot of joy to people, too. Right? Yes. I laughed at it. I thought it was great.
I thought it was funny.
I'm not a professional singer, he said, but this was a health-related issue. I was severely dehydrated, and this is what happened. I never meant any disrespect. Wait, dehydration makes you ask the crowd to sing?
Well, that was just dumb.
I'm very patriotic, he says. I love the United States of America. I love our national anthem. I would never disrespect that. I love our service.
To sing it. Are we going to start calling fans that people record who sing it badly? People, I mean, let's get our phones out during the anthem and record people who are singing badly near us so everyone can get death threats equally.
Oh, good idea.
I'm an American and I love this country. People have accused me of having a left-wing agenda.
What?
But nothing can be further from the truth.
Why is he on one side of politics or the other?
I never thought politics would come into this, but, you know, it's the anthem. I simply stepped forward and volunteered to sing the national anthem, and now I can't even show my face in public anymore.
Oh, God.
He turned into a foghorn leghorn there at the end.
My life, I say my life has been threatened by complete strangers. My family has been threatened. My children have been bullied at school, where they're actually being watched by security guards. What dick kids are in that school? They should not put up with anything like that.
Okay, how about there's a montage. I don't know where this came from. The montage of people saying Jeremy Hunt. Who's Jeremy Hunt?
I don't know.
Is he a British politician?
Maybe.
There's a montage of people having trouble saying Jeremy Hunt. And I assume they'll all be fired like the Martin Luther King flubbers.
So he's Mike's brother.
Yeah, he's Mike's brother, obviously.
Well, first up after the news, we're going to be talking to Jeremy Hunt, the Culture Secretary, about...
And the Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, is also expected to apologise.
Circumstances changed. Mr Hunt had to rapidly...
The Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt.
The Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, says he's...
The Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, has described it.
The Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, according to the...
The Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, has said the NHS front...
And that's given us Jeremy Hunt looking after the health service.
Somebody, somewhere in government, perhaps... The Secretary of State for Health.
Jeremy Hunt, the Hunt.
I love everyone laughs.
Shouldn't they all be fired, though?
Absolutely.
What if he is one, though?
Well, over there, I mean, it's a very different meaning.
Yeah. If the C word is...
term of endearment, almost.
Yeah, kind of used a bit. Cunts.
Well, but people watching on the internet don't know that. So he should be... All those people should get death threats, and they should all be fired. Now, the Illiches have just made things worse.
Nice timing.
By getting a $74 million tax bonus because they apparently spent $200 million developing those parking lots, and the two parking decks, the Google business that is relocated there, and Little Caesars headquarters. Now, it seems to me two-thirds of that is all to benefit the Illiches and the Illiches only. In fact, the parking decks, is that really doing anything for that neighborhood? Really developing the neighborhood? Or is that putting money in their pockets?
Oh, they cleared out some old buildings.
Somehow that's not what I would give someone $74 million. Now, they don't get it right away, but over time, they will collect $74 million of, the funny thing is, property taxes from people in the area are going to pay them $74 million for building two parking decks, their own headquarters, and luring Google downtown.
Yep.
What?
That's the deal they made with them.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Nice job by our politicians.
Yeah.
They really cut a great deal there.
State level and city. Yeah. No, and, it's utterly ridiculous. But you knew they were going to start. I mean, of
course. I'm amazed at how shameless they are about this. I would have thought that by now they'd say, hey, wait. We're running behind. We still plan to do stuff. They've said nothing of the sort. They've said, "Hey, we've met the criteria."
Yeah. Yeah, but
we all saw the press conference. We all know. No, you have not kept your promise.
But if you say you're running behind, then people are going to expect you to someday do it.
Well, true.
I mean, hasn't all pretense been dropped?
They have no plans to do it. Obviously, that's what I take
clearly
out of this.
Yeah. So why? I mean, why lie? Guess, they've already won. Why lie about it now?
I guess if you call that winning,
for them. Yeah, that's winning.
Yeah, I guess they don't care what people think of them. No. I guess that's the surprising part. I thought they cared a little bit.
No.
I don't know. Mike Ilitch seemed to care.
Duh. Winning.
Just ask the guy that caught Pujols' ball.
Yeah, I know. That's...
That guy was great. He ripped a new one.
Yeah, and he
also ripped Kyle Bogey a new one.
Oh, Kyle Bogey?
He sure did.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, can you find his Facebook post, Brandon? This guy, Eli, caught Pujols. What was it? What number RBI?
Pujols' 2,000th RBI. Now, it's a baseball that he's only the fifth person to reach 2,000 RBIs. Trudy, you don't need to understand sports to know this. He caught a ball that's very valuable. So immediately, as he's leaving the ballpark, the Tigers go
Drew's
and say,
currently mansplaining.
Well, I don't want her to feel like this is not something. This is easily something she can take interest in because it's not necessarily sports. There's no sports strategy involved. It's just he caught a ball that was worth money.
Sure,
he's leaving the park, and they approach him and say, "Hey, you know, we'd like to get that ball for Albert Pujols, and we'll do this, this, this." And I think they offered him a Cabrera.
Yeah.
A couple Cabrera things. Mm-hmm. I think, kind of lame. And I think he said, no thanks. And they said, as soon as you leave that ballpark, that ball's worth nothing because it's not authenticated.
Ooh. Yeah, which is a dick move.
Yeah. And so he said, oh, well, I guess it isn't worth anything then because I'm leaving.
Ah.
And then he said that the Tigers treated him like a bag of garbage.
Yep.
Really? And he went on to explain that he lives in that area where all those dilapidated, ill-shown properties are.
Yeah.
And he didn't know until the HBO story that they were responsible in any way, shape, or form for that. So he's really gone on quite a rampage.
Maybe he's the reason they're not developing any of that around there. It's just this long game of a grudge that.
Against him?
Yeah, against him for not giving the ball back.
That's a great point. Maybe they'll never develop anything because they're angry at him and they want his property to be devalued.
For some reason, I can't find that Facebook post. I think he deleted it.
I got it because Tony Paul tweeted it out. All right. So it starts with, holy shit! That's how we start, I suppose. Okay, you all win. I'll post my first social media update in 5 years.
Wow.
Oh, I saw this. I forgot. He went after Kyle Bogey?
Yeah, first yesterday was surreal. I considered it an honor to catch Pujols' ball and try to act all day with the honor I thought it obligated me to. Yeah.
That's a little heavy.
He's catching a ball. A couple answers to questions I've been getting. When I was yelling, Anne Frank! This is really weird.
This really takes us somewhere I did not understand.
People were asking him questions. He just kept going, Anne Frank! Was in response to everyone from the media in the stadium telling me not to let anyone touch or hold the ball. I thought it was obvious, but perhaps I'm just a nerd for history. I say Watson and Crick and Rosalind Franklin, and you say DNA.
Huh?
No.
Yeah, I think you're a nerd for history.
I think I would
clearly.
Say,
huh? What in the hell are you talking about? Wow.
I say Neil Armstrong, and you say one small step for man. I say Anne Frank, and you say people are truly good at heart. People were so cynical over the ball.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
No. I felt compelled.
Were they?
Yeah, they weren't very good to her.
I felt compelled to let every person and their monkey's uncle pose with the ball and hold it. The ball is right there on my coffee table. Anne Frank wins. Now go vote. Second, I am not rich. I'm a broke-ass law student. I did not do this out of any sort of entitlement. Anne Frank, y'all. I had the best intentions. This ball will most likely end up in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry if no one can authenticate it, but the only reason I ended up with it is because Tigers management treated me so terribly. Number three, and this is a big one, fuck the Illiches.
Whoa.
And then he wrote F blank, blank, blank for any news media that wants to quote me. The living ones of the younger generation, they have ruined the damned game. They are greed incarnate. Their people treated me like garbage. I had to physically put money into their ushers' pockets because no one in Comerica is allowed to take tips.
Oh, you did not have to do that. Why can't he stick to the subject?
They charge $11 for a beer now. They share zero profits with the city. They own most of my goddamn neighborhood. And thanks to Bryant and Gumbel, I now know that they've owned it for years and let it fall into blight in order to use that as... Which, didn't everybody know that they didn't own those properties?
Well, the HBO story really did. I think HBO... amazingly, is the source to a lot of people in this case. That's their story did inform people.
Yep. Hey, Chris Illich, fuck you. You are scum. One more thing. Everyone yesterday was
you
cool
are
as
scum.
Hell.
Yeah.
Special shout out to the dude from the Detroit News. You were the coolest guy all day. Shout out to Dennis Fithian and Jeff Rieger. You guys were exactly as cool as I was hoping. I've listened to y'all for years and gave you shout outs all day. I quoted Quentin Berry's my favorite Tiger and told Caputo to suck it, LOL. What a great day. I mean, there's something about his personality that's very likable.
Why is he mad at Caputo?
I just told him to suck it. I don't know why. Which brings me to my last point.
Uh-oh.
Everyone was so great with one exception. Kyle Bogenschultz. Bogey. Talking to Kyle on the phone, for the interview. It became apparent very quickly that it was a hostile interview. Kyle is a terrible human being. I get that now. It was nothing major he did. He is just a dishonest scumbag who treated me like the Tiger staff did. Kyle, fuck you! My favorite part was when he called me a liar for having the audacity to say I wanted to give the ball to my son and daughter and brother. Ooh, gotcha journalism at its finest. Or this, in the moment I wanted to be everything to everybody. I don't know the gender of my baby who will be born in a week. Bogey is a degenerate prick, plain and simple. And so are the Illiches. Other than that, I'm glad it happened to me. I'm glad the ball stays in Detroit and doesn't have to go to Chokeland County. Oh, shot at
Chokeland County?
Shot at Oakland County.
This guy has a lot of anger.
And I love being called a hipster 30,000 times all over the media. I love reading negative print, but as the OG hipster destroyer, that one hurts a bit. Keep it up, y'all, and I'll keep watching baseball and over-tipping and giving hugs and being pedantic and self-righteous. P.S., I've never actually just dropped Anne Frank into a conversation before, and special shout-out to my two brothers for dealing with all the pricks all day. P.S.S., a big thank you to Albert Pujols. I've heard your comments since the game, and I 100% agree. You're a class act. You wouldn't pay me a penny for the ball, and I wouldn't take a penny. I'd be more likely to give it up over beers in L.A.
Hint, hint.
Woo. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he offered the ball to Pujols, and Pujols said no.
Pujols said he doesn't want it?
No, he said just put it in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Heh.
First of all, I want to add this to the story. I have met Kyle Bogey's girlfriend. She works at LA Fitness.
Oh, really?
Seems like a delightful young lady.
Oh, nice.
So. Kyle must have something on the ball.
She should interview this guy then.
I guess so. I was going to say, maybe we should call him. And I thought, no, I don't think we should call him.
No.
End up on his shit list.
No. Oh, Eli? No. Yeah.
Oh, there's another Eli. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that part.
I think that's an E-L-Y. I mean, that's how you would pronounce it, right? Oh, it's a different spelling. Okay.
Eli's still special.
Yeah, what a maverick.
Yeah.
It's an E-L-Y.
My. Boy, his shit list is long.
How ridiculous over a ball. But it's kind of the ridiculous response that it deserves.
But he's so angry that I want to hear the other side. If the Tigers said anything like that's not how it went.
Not that I think they're just moving on.
They're doing a lot of moving on lately.
Yeah, they are.
Did No Filter cover the Pujols ball, Brandon?
Oh, of course, and it's really cool because it kind of wraps into what Denny had to go through with his memorabilia of his 30th game.
Oh.
His 30th win, excuse me. Which is pretty fascinating.
I'm guessing Denny does not have the ball.
It doesn't sound... Well, I'll let you listen on your own.
Okay.
But
don't give it away!
But it sounds like there was some strong-arming back in 1968, just as much as there is in 2019.
Mm. Okay.
I noticed the lack of Denny in the studio, though, by no...
That's true.
Yes, there's no chocolate today.
No
Denny
chocolate left.
Denny was in Nashville. Bob Page was in Manhattan. Wow. He's normally in Florida. It was fun.
Brandon had quite a challenge today.
It was fun today.
Wow.
Denny forgot his laptop.
That's a tribute.
Bob forgot his cords.
A tribute to your skill that you were able to still pull a show together, Brandon.
Somehow. They got No Filter Sports done.
Yeah. It is available now.
Did they have the Beeline? They had the Beeline story.
Oh,
today.
Of course.
Yeah,
that's the big story of the day.
Did they honor the great Gunther Cunningham with some fabulous audio?
No,
damn.
We don't have audio of not on par of
I got a piece if you want to just insert it later. It's really terrible audio.
Not unless you can clean up the quality.
They celebrate Dennis Rodman's birthday because that's what today is.
How old is Dennis today?
God.
Dennis is, I think he's 59.
I'm so happy.
Did Kim Jong-un send him a gift?
Kim Jong-un.
He tweet at him? Did Trump tweet at him?
Sure.
Both of them?
Yeah, no, he's 58.
Friends.
And just fresh from accusations of stealing all that stuff from a yoga store. Why would you break into a yoga store, though?
I don't understand what you have to steal.
I heard
you're
Dennis Rodman.
He is denied. Do we have audio of Rodman? Because he did deny that he did this.
Nah, he
which
did
he's
it.
Only on security camera doing it, but he denies that he did.
Where do you find other people?
He said they gave it to him.
Okay,
but he was blocking for
them. I was just going to say, where do you find the other people for that lineup? to pick out.
I have no idea.
She's
I,
Dennis
this
story Rodman.
Is so dumb. It's just.
I gotta ask you, what went on the
this
other
is
day
be incoherent.
In the store
yes.
with the?
Oh no, nothing happened. The one thing we walked in, me and my lovely wife and my good friend Tonio and all my guys here.
Yeah.
Wait,
it was all you guys over there?
Yeah, just.
But we walked in. Yeah. The next thing you know, the employee, I think it's a female, we walked in, and all you saw me do is one thing, this.
Right.
You just stood there.
I just stood there. And I asked him, I said, can we take a couple of gifts for us and stuff like that? And the guy said, yes. I said, okay, great.
Why would he ask for a couple gifts? Why would a yoga place give him gifts? I mean, that's just dumb.
They wouldn't.
I'm Dennis Rodman. Can I have some stuff?
I got so many belt threads.
Actually, I would expect him to ask for things wherever he goes. That's a good defense he put
you're
up
probably
there.
Right.
I mean, I believe him.
I believe the security camera that I watched.
What was the broken thing all about then, if there was nothing going on?
The broken thing.
Dennis.
That is the pink elephant in the room. Why in the world? It sounded to me like someone he was with knocked something over and broke it into a million pieces, which distracted everyone from the fact that he was filling his bag with stuff.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Shirts and Lululemon things or something.
It's so stupid.
So dumb. It's so perfectly Rodman.
If I had to decide what's dumber, his podcast or that event, I don't know what I'd
pick. His podcast.
His podcast. Really? I don't know. But if the people don't, if they don't figure out the issue, then they're on the rebound. The show makes no sense. The concept makes no sense, except they wanted to put rebound in the title.
That was the best they could come up with.
Yeah.
So you think they had the title and then made the show?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Oof.
So did you guys hear that high school in Ohio is removing valedictorian and salutatorian from their classes because it's too much pressure for the kids?
Good, that'll shorten the ceremony.
So it's too much pressure for the people who didn't study as hard and
I guess
come
so.
Up with the grades and I stuff.
And, you know, every time I see something.
Isn't that good pressure? Isn't that the kind of pressure you want?
Yeah.
It's
the kind
of pressure you're supposed to have to
it.
Deal with at that age.
That pushes people that want to be great.
Yeah.
It seems like that would be okay because you don't have to be.
Wait.
No one is making anyone be the valedictorian. People want to be, but.
Now, we've heard these stories before and they've always had speeches still from students. So is this school going to have student speeches at graduation? And how do they decide who's giving the speech?
Well, they can't because they can't have a smarter person than any of the other people.
They're going to have it.
They're going to have a group called, you know, Laudi and Cum Laudi and Summa Cum Laudi. I guess they're going to have large groups of people that. So probably everyone is Laudi of some kind. Everyone gets a ribbon.
Ugh. That's good.
Yeah. But Trudy, the thing I was trying to figure out, and this is Ohio, your home state.
Oh, boy.
So I was trying to figure out, how did we make it this far with all of these wrong things that we were fighting for and we were thinking about and we had all this pressure? How did we last this long?
I don't know how we didn't get
Barely.
Through all of that without having some sort of breakdown.
Nervous breakdown, exactly.
Right.
You're missing the point. Think of how great you guys would have been if you didn't have that kind of
that's
pressure.
That's true. There you go. That's a great point.
Nothing you could prove that either.
You know what? I knew there were smarter people in school than me, and I could handle that. You know, they tried a lot harder. They deserved it.
I agree.
Does anybody remember who their valedictorian is?
I don't.
You
do?
Drew?
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
My class
had
1,000 people, in my defense.
Drew, we had like 50 in ours, and I don't remember who it was.
I'm pretty sure it was Barb Brown or Debbie Elliott, one of the two of those. They were brilliant.
Hmm.
So
What are they doing now?
Mine, but I know that Kristen was hers, so.
Oh!
Well.
La-ti-da.
Would Kristen want to give that up to be part of the Summa Cum Laude group?
I thought she was pretty proud of it.
Well, yeah, she should be.
And she worked really hard to achieve it.
And I agree, there are people who rise above, and there are people like me and you who recognize that and go, you know what, I'm not going to be the valedictorian, but wow, that's fantastic.
Oh,
I never had any. I suppose there are people who were maybe second or third going, fucking bitch!
Yeah, but you still get rewarded for being in the top 10. You get, you know, your name in the paper, and it's out there on your programs for graduation.
Oh, yeah. Is there really that much pressure surrounding the valedictorian? I never sensed it. Maybe
you and I
never close to being that person. I don't know.
We We never felt pressure because we never tried that hard, or at least I didn't. I kind of knew.
I'm kind of
I'm not Britney Spears dumb, but I'm not valedictorian smart.
Yeah, I was happy with my – I did a lot better my last couple of years, and I ended up doing okay in the class pretty well. But, I mean, I would never expect it to be number one, and I wasn't. There's a story today about Janelle Evans, who, you know, I'm really tired of talking about dumb people, but we spent an hour on Britney Spears. Why not? Janelle Evans has now not allowed to have two of her kids in her house with David Easton, her husband. Who I guess she's staying with this guy? I thought she left.
No, she lives with him.
Okay.
She supports him.
Jace, who her mother has partial custody of and did have full custody of, and she's always been scared of David Easton and always kind of felt like, is he really? And, you know, and this is what Janelle endlessly bitches about her mother. Her mother's so horrible. She's the worst person ever. She's raised her 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. She's raised this kid. From the time she was 15, she said, I'm a teenager. I still be a teenager. I'm going out. And her mom's like, you have a baby. Are you kidding? And she, boom, she was gone. And if you do something about it, then I'm going to take my baby and you'll never see it again.
It's a bargaining chip.
Know,
good one.
It was,
good one,
it was
idiot.
So stupid. And she's still the idiot she was then. So they take these two kids. Kaiser is her child with another guy. What's his name?
Kaiser.
It was Kaiser with Nathan.
Nathan, the 3 DUI guy. And so he's not allowed to be in the house either. However, the story went on to talk about her child, their child together, Ensley, the one that was nipped by the dog. Mm. And they said that they were afraid to go in and take the child because of all his firearms and his volatile personality. So what, they're going to leave a child in an unsafe home because this guy has a bunch of weapons?
Yeah.
Did it sound that way to you?
Yeah.
That's the way I read it. Yeah. Well, what the hell is that?
Just not stir stuff up or?
I don't know.
I'll let nature take its course.
I've never read anything like that about a story like that. Usually, and I'm not, you know, I'm not crazy about creating giant conflicts and standoffs and that sort of thing. But, you know, this guy shot a dog that didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, he not to mention all his other misdeeds. Yeah. By the way, did you hear he's going to court for something else?
Oh, God, what?
Someone boxed his car in a parking space.
And he shot it?
No, close. He posted a video of he got the car in front of him towed.
Oh, cool. Nice guy.
Now, I think that was in the – let me see if I can find that story.
Janelle's – have you looked at her Instagram, though? Because it's quite hilarious.
Oh, I'm – what now?
Well, the most recent picture is a picture of Kaiser, and it's my official statement on what happened with Kaiser and CPS, link in bio. And then, of course, right off the bat, it's like, you need to, those kids need to be taken away from you, which they already were. Whatever happens, he'll end up shooting it.
Right?
Common sense to keep small kids out of a dog's face. That poor dog was cowering into the couch.
Oh.
I mean, she's just getting hammered on. Finally, maybe now you'll wake up. You lost your dog, now your son. When are you going to realize you have to put your children first? But the best one was on Saturday. She posted a picture of a chicken, like, in her lap.
Oh, God.
And she just wrote hashtag chicken whisper.
Do the chickens have large talons?
Of course. right off the bat. Maybe you shouldn't be near any animals ever!
Well, you know, it's this person being an influencer, can't they just shut down accounts and go, you're not an influencer anymore. You're a bad influencer. Yeah. You're not an influencer. Bye. We're closing your account for you.
Don't allow it to peck you. You might end up the same as Nugget. You live with a monster.
He's such an asshole. I mean, he's such an asshole.
If he bites you, you get rabies and you die.
I can't find the story, but I believe he towed the car himself. That was what I understood.
What?
And he just posted this. It's from last year. And the guy that got towed apparently said, hey, that's the fucker that towed my car.
Oh, wow.
Because he didn't tell him, I towed your car. He just thought it was really funny. And Janelle's laughing on the post, too.
Cool.
You know, they're so smart.
Asshole.
I know. He's such a... Not to mention pulling a gun on a guy in a road rage thing, which nothing happened. She was never even...
Oh, you found the video.
...questioned about that.
There he's hooking it up to his car.
Oh, so you decide that it should be towed. That's pretty cool.
I don't know if it's going to go.
I would think this would not be a small crime.
No.
Oh, my God. What a turd.
I know, this righteous asshole. Someone parks too close to him, so he tows their car.
Motherfucker out of the way.
Idiots.
Man, why are there no smart people as influencers anywhere?
Yeah, good point.
So all these dumb people, oh my God, who are just getting away with murder.
Yeah.
I know. Well, who invented the word influencer for these people? Yeah. Really?
Who is that person?
Oh, my God. Ugh. Well, it's been a long day around here.
Did you see the Game of Thrones, their new mess up from last night's episode?
Yeah. It's funny. We even mentioned Game of Thrones. And I watched some of it.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was kind of fun to watch.
It was really good.
Are you mad that the characters changed on a dime?
No, not at all.
No, I heard about how mad everyone is, though, and I read about it.
Oh, that's been building and building.
People named their child after a character that didn't do something that would be good for that name.
But the flub this week was Jamie Lannister grew his hand back.
Yeah, I saw it.
That was really funny.
People were defending Game of Thrones on TMZ.
It didn't look like it was his hand. I couldn't tell the difference. It looked like the golden hand to me.
Oh, really? I thought on the still picture it looked
like
a real
hand. People on TMZ were saying that that's really picky. And
of course it is. That's what makes it funny.
I thought so, too.
The show has a dragon that burned a city down, and they're worried about continuity.
Spoiler.
Oh, Drogon, too, by the way.
Come on. If you care, you would have seen him.
No, last night during the NBA, whichever game was playing, something like that.
Game 7 with... Toronto?
Last night was
somebody
Toronto.
ESPN 76ers. Completely blew it for the people on the West Coast and completely spoiled Game of Thrones last night.
What?
Are they going to be okay? Do?
It's Michael Eaves. Yeah. He was on SportsCenter, excuse me. And he was recapping the Raptors Game 7. So most people are just kind of watching SportsCenter, waiting for their, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock their time so they can watch HBO and Game of Thrones. And he goes ahead and just spoils some of the major deaths. And there were some big deaths.
Which one did he spoil?
What? On SportsCenter?
Look, I'm not going to say it.
Wait, can we say spoiler alert and you play the audio?
I don't have the audio.
Oh, okay.
Can I just say, though, didn't most people expect that?
On SportsCenter?
No. Not him saying it, but the spoiler alert, yeah.
I think they did.
Yeah, but maybe not in last night's episode. Fuck.
Don't you watch it just to see how it's, it happens anyway, though? I mean,
yeah.
No, knowing this. By the way,
that happened was a little silly.
Kind of.
Oh, my God.
I think.
By the way, how do you make the dragon do what you want it to do?
You guys just skip.
She's
next
the mother
week.
Of dragons.
But twice to blow fire?
No, she nurtured them like her children.
They're her children, Drew. Duh.
You guys just skip next
so the
episode.
Dragon knows English? You say, do this, burn that, and then it does?
It also knows Dothraki.
He knows Valyrian. Is it Valyrian?
Oh, hi, Valyrian.
Hi, Valyrian.
Valyrian.
I don't know. I was kind of caught up in that. And I'm a new viewer. I'm joining the show a little late.
You only have one episode left, Drew.
I was stuck.
Who's going to sit on the throne?
I was stuck wondering, how do they get the dragon to do exactly what they want it to do? Because it's a dragon.
Oh, yeah, but it's...
She hatched them.
She hatched them from
end
eggs.
Of season one. Wait, spoiler alert.
She hatched
alert.
Them out of her vagina?
No.
Oh, she sat on them like a chicken.
No, she...
But it's still a dragon.
You didn't even watch a goddamn show, did you?
I love how mad you get over it.
Because you're
it's
ignorant.
It's a dragon. I didn't know you could communicate that specifically to a dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. She's the mother of dragons.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
And dragons are very astute.
I'm trying to learn.
It's what you don't know.
Haven't you ever seen a dragon before?
I guess not.
By the way.
Hang on, I almost caught the dragon.
Did I read today?
Arnie Targaryens can fly them.
I'm trying to learn about dragons, and you guys are being mean to me.
I love the show, but whenever you talk about it, it just sounds so stupid.
Brandon,
I'm still doing it. I'm still trying to learn, and I'm being why do I have to watch the whole show?
Do you have any other questions about what you saw last night?
Yeah.
Well, I don't. It's too early. I feel like I shouldn't ask many today because every time I ask a question, the detail gets too deep, and then I don't care anymore.
Well, we'll keep the answer.
I was fascinated by the dragon. And the fact that the dragon seemed to be under, and also I didn't see her riding the dragon too. I just saw the dragon going crazy. Was she on the dragon?
Yeah, you can barely see her because she's so small compared to it. But I mean, dragon. Visually, that episode was phenomenal.
Okay,
no, it was a cool episode. Okay. There's some silly things. Like here's another thing. Spoiler, if you want to hear it, skip past it. But were you wondering like why didn't the dragon just fly really high and then come down to where the queen was and just destroy the Red Keep?
Yeah,
I mean. If you want to debate her battle plan,
I do.
I don't know what to tell you.
I do. I think it was dumb.
I think it was done very well because you have other characters that need to do things, Mark. You can't just end it. Done. No.
Well, they
you
pretty
have
much
to have
did.
People. No, they didn't.
My brand is really high.
He's very defensive. It's almost like you wrote the book.
All you do is shit on it. That all
I think, okay, okay.
Weeks,
in all seriousness.
Just shitting on it.
In all seriousness.
Quit bitching about it.
This season's been a little. Meh. No?
Yeah, you should write one yourself.
No, that's I don't want to. That's why I watch it, because I couldn't write something.
By the way.
That is great.
All right. I love how loyal you are to Game of Thrones. I think that's really
basically
sweet.
Took a masterpiece and just wrapped it up. And
the day after.
Three episodes.
The second to the last episode, and George R.R. Martin, the dude who wrote all the books, is like, hey, by the way, I wrote the last books.
Oh, what a dick.
Really? He said.
He says he has actually finished the last two Game of Thrones books.
I don't believe it. The last one I bought was in 2011. I've been waiting for the next one.
This is 1 hour ago? Earlier today?
Are you being pranked? Is this on The Onion?
No.
What are you reading?
I feel like Brandon's being told that Santa Claus is not real.
Spy? The Observer?
He says he's written them, but I don't believe it because he's. He ain't going to finish these things.
Okay, then you know
he's
what? Shelve next week's episode. Let's just wait till these books are out and they can make a couple more seasons.
I see, the outcome of the movie, though, is, or the actual TV version is going to be out before any of these books make it. So.
Yeah. The only thing is the books have so many more characters and different things. There's definitely going to be things that are changed because they've combined characters. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody who wants to read the books, like an intellectual.
No one
did,
wants
Brandon, did we open the Hall Financial Hotline? I don't mean to change
we
the
did.
Subject rapidly.
Yeah,
we did, and did I mention it?
No, you were really wrapped up in Britney Spears
at
the moment.
The Hall Financial Hotline was officially opened, and you can call Hall Financial at 248-308-5000, or you can go to drewandmike.hallfg.com and contact David Hall & Company, or you can click the link on our website, fill out the online form, they'll get back to you pronto. They would love to do a refi for you, and we should get ourselves out of here. Been a long day.
Yeah, I bet you if King's Landing had a soccer team, Mark would be interested in.
Oh, I would never root for the King's Landing team.
What?
No, God. Team Dorn FC all the way.
Dorn FC. High Garden City.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to thank, by the way, whoever sent me the podcast on podcast ranking Weaseling.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what?
Is that disturbing?
Isn't it
this
crazy?
Guy sent me a podcast. It's called Creative. I can't think of the name of the podcast. He basically learned over and investigated over a long period how podcasts get ranked.
By Apple really or by Google?
By Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how these guys in Bangladesh come up with all these new Apple IDs, like maybe 50 of them. And they subscribe to a podcast.
Oh, let's do it. How much does it cost?
It was cheap.
One guy paid $5.
It was so cheap.
And this guy did it.
Now they shut it down?
And they kind of implied that it doesn't matter if you rate a podcast. It doesn't help one bit.
Really?
So it's all about new subscribers. Only new subscribers.
Yeah, oh, that we
knew. Nothing else.
So people
I thought downloads mattered.
People unsubscribe and resubscribe. We should go back to the top of the list.
Yeah.
You know,
I doubt
it. Just really made me mad. And also, he implied that some of the top podcasts are still using this.
Oh, really?
Method. Yeah, there's people all over Bangladesh apparently doing nothing but getting podcasts ranked.
Oh, what a horrible job.
You know, I thought the same thing.
The worst job.
It's not like people
pay
very
much.
Call
them later today. You know,
but it was a good podcast. If I only knew the name of it, I'll write it down. I'll get it to you. And do like us anyway. Like us. We want your likes.
Yeah.
Rate us too. I read them. Rate us everywhere you can, and like us everywhere you can. Do what we tell you.